Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Ah, yes, indeed, indeed. Well, let's see. Ben Stiller's going to be on the show.
Yay.
This morning. Anthony Anderson's going to be on the show. This morning.
Always kind of scares me a little bit, yay.
Anthony Anderson, 866-901-ANN, by the way. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Oh, someone's going to be on camera later. Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
Hello.
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 That was us and I was supposed to do it. And then there was Adam and I thought I was supposed to join in.
Very Pavlovian. I like that. Yeah, I can always tell when Teresa's getting camera ready. I'm not sure why. I mean, so little, she looks great every morning, but always looks a little bit better. Is that for the big
water cooler?
What do we call that thing? Is it TV water cooler? Yeah. What do we have going after the show today?
Well,
the think tank.
Yes,
that's right.
I can't make it to that. I'm going to try to call it. But maybe I had to put in a little extra effort because I had a rough day yesterday. I was just telling Brian, there's this media blogger.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, he just hates me. And he never really writes about the content of anything I do or my writing, but he just writes about how ugly I am.
What is with this?
This is a media blogger.
Yeah. And
what is a media blogger exactly?
This guy has a site. I don't want to say the name of it.
All right.
He writes about, you know, media. He covers, that's his beat.
Uh-huh. Now,
he writes about our show here, the Adam Carolla Show, and he writes about TMZ.
Does he cover it from his mom's basement,
yes,
or is it a real gig?
Yes. He's written a book in the past, and I think he used to work on hard copy, but he can't work in television anymore.
I'm mm-hmm. explosive.
Mm-hmm. And I never look at those things because, as you know, I can't handle it.
Yes.
But yesterday I was at TMZ, and I was like, I'm kind of bored. Let me just Google myself. I got about 8 pages and there was nothing but great people writing the nicest things, nothing but kind-hearted things. And I just kept looking until I got to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was so cruel. And it was just basically about how I'm hideous. And he said that I'm going to be replaced on TMZ because I'm like Rachel Dratch on 30 Rock and I'm too ugly for television and they're going to have to replace me with Jane Krakowski. And he was like, that bent-nosed pancake makeup.
Hold on a second. Did they replace Rachel Dratch?
With Jane Krakowski. Yeah,
oh,
I guess
really?
They did.
But
who knows
back
why?
Back to Rachel Dratch. Too ugly to do comedy?
That's what he said. And by the way,
that's like being too ugly to detail cars.
Well, I got really, you know, in my mind, I had a conversation with this guy in my mind for about 4 hours where I thought, like, what do you want me to be, a Barbie doll? I do the news. And, you know, I don't think he's ever Googled me or has any idea that I, you know, have had a career in journalism. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be a Maxim model.
Yeah, I totally concur. I've said many times, had plenty of horrible reviews, and one about the Man Show that called me an ape and too ugly for TV and all sorts of things like that.
It said one of the reasons I was ugly was because you were wearing me out.
You know,
it said after months of Adam Carolla, she's worse for wear.
I'd love to have sympathy for you because you're a girl and care about such things. I really do have sympathy for you, but I just, as you were doing it, I remembered something, so I hit TMZ.com.
Yeah.
And there's 124 comments. Should I just whip down just a couple about me?
Sure.
First ones. I won't add anything. Ready?
Please.
Sure.
How weird. This I had a picture of me with no shirt on. Dude, how weird. This guy has no belly button. Maybe he thinks that will distract from his face, which is fugly. Number two, I think he has his shirt off
because
his face is fugly.
Yeah.
Number three,
fugly.
I think his shirt is off because he's fugly. Put on a shirt, freak. You're ugly. Your face looks like a thumbprint. You should not only wear a shirt, you should wear a hood over your face.
Mm.
I have to keep going down if you want to hear more.
But fugly must have been from the same guy 3 times.
No, it's
somebody read it.
Word.
It's popular now.
Oh, no, I know fugly is popular, but were there 3 fuglies in a row?
Yeah.
That's more than a coincidence.
How about this one, then? It's more brief. Gross. That comes, swear to God, posted by Gretchen.
I try to be...
Don't say which one.
I try to put it out of my mind because I thought this is just one guy and I've been really lucky. I've had nothing but mostly nice things written about me, but I woke up this morning and the first thing about 3 seconds into consciousness, I just thought, I'm so ugly. I'm too ugly for television. I started crying. I had to wake up Batman. I'm like, Batman, am I ugly? Do I look like Rachel Dratch? I'm too ugly.
Well, okay, couple
of things.
I can't
move on, and I can't let go.
I understand.
Can't let go.
People, just so you know, there's 124 out of 125 that call me ugly in that.
People are
yeah,
cruel.
I want to get back to me.
People are cruel.
Yes.
Ouch.
Now, the internet has become what used to be the car window at 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, like, hey,
some dude swerves in front of you. Hey, dude, you flick him the bird. You feel protected. You're right. In a steel cocoon known as an automobile. You're still feeling a little vulnerable because if you saw a dude, seriously, you see a guy pull up in a mauve-colored PT Cruiser convertible, and he's wearing one of those Day-Glow orange ball caps with the big brims, and you can hear girls just want to have fun being pumped from the base, you'll give that guy the bird. You see the dude with the limo tint on the Denali and the 22-inch spinners, and you're thinking, Suge Knight may be behind that wheel. Right. I'll be a little more cautious before I throw the bird.
Right.
But you still feel like, all right, even if it is Suge Knight, what's he going to do? I can get away from him in my car. The computer is you're on the road, and everyone's in a pink Miata. And it's some old queen behind the wheel, and we all can throw the bird with impunity now. No danger, no problem. Nobody can ever get to you.
Yeah.
So you start. I got to say, I don't write emails. I don't spell. I don't write. I did write one a couple of weeks ago. And on rare occasion, I write an email. Just like twice a year, I write an email. And, of course, my wife was typing, but I started going off, and I started going off. And then I did what I tell everyone else to do. I took a breath. I read the email. I deleted a couple of F words and a couple of ones where I called someone retarded. And I sat with it for a little while, and I realized, oh, man, this is easy.
Yeah.
This is why people get so many insulting emails. It's easy just to get chugging along and hit send. Like we talk about, when you send a letter, you have to write it out, you have to live with it, and then you have to walk it over to the mailbox. Yeah. And at some point in that process, you think to yourself, okay, do I really want to sever this tie with this person? Do I really want to insult them this badly? Maybe I was in, it was a heated moment when I wrote this down, and you don't do it. The computer, it's now officially on.
Yeah.
But your looks... Again, when you're doing commentary or comedy, how big a deal is that? And aren't comedians traditionally ugly? And this was my big beef when the guy was saying I was too ugly to be on The Man Show.
Right.
It's not a game show. I'm not some slick spray-on tanned game show
guy.
Yeah,
I'm not turning letters.
Right. Now, you're on television, you're on TMZ, and you have to look past a certain point. I mean, look, let's face it, that's the society we're living in, male or female. You have to look decent for the camera. You're a million miles past whatever that cutoff line is. And even then, what kind of person are you to focus on that? You see, that's the whole thing. There are times when I disagree with somebody and I want to go, hey, you got a big nose, fat ass.
Right.
But then I realize, A, I'm not addressing whatever the problem is,
right.
And B, I'm now worse than they are.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom? Tom?
Good morning.
What do you have to say, homely?
Thank you very little. I don't love this show. I hate to use the word fan, but I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
Teresa, I don't know what this guy's on, but if anything, if I can give you some criticism, you're much too pretty for radio.
Oh, thank you.
I mean,
appreciate
seriously,
that.
I mean, that's, the guy's on crack.
Right.
Like, yeah, I mean, that is the fact. People who like you don't write. They just don't. It's not the way these things go. And people write in to say the stuff they think will make print, and they just personally attack you because, first of all, a lot of radio listeners go very close to the word stalker, and not in a bad way, although I don't know what a good way of stalker is. I just personally enjoy them. Because they know your whole life. They know you're now dating again. You broke up with your last boyfriend. They know when you fight. They know when you're mad. They know when you're... They become... You're in their car with them for 20 to 22 minutes every day. And if somebody takes a disliking to you, they dislike you like you're their enemy. Not like they can just push a button and not listen to you anymore. They don't like you. So what can I say to a girl who's sensitive? I know. I'll call her ugly. These guys don't pay attention to me at all. This lady says, I can feel the chunks rising in my throat now at the picture of your fugly face. Fugly seems to
be. Wow. I know it doesn't fugly get took to off. You. I know it rolls off your back.
It did get to me. It did get to me at first. Then I went, dude, wait, they're right. I'm cool with that. You're not cool with that because, A, they're wrong. You're beautiful. You have two TV shows. What do you want for proof that you're pretty?
More.
And here's the, but here's, that's an interesting point because you know they're right. See, I get more angry if I know they're right.
Oh.
And I get angry if I know they're wrong. Yeah. Well, I get angry anyway, but, it's the first thing I don't like is, the people working the angle. Like, I don't like it, and I'm thinking of reviewers, but I'm also just thinking of people saying negative things. First thing I hate is the inaccuracy.
Ugh. Yep.
The braying sports aficionado. That's right. Entertainment Weekly did a review of the new man show, called it better than the old man show, basically said Jimmy Kimmel is off to make his ill-fated foray into late-night TV. Ill-fated. That was 5 years ago. And it called me the braying sports aficionado. Not sure if they were still talking about Jimmy and somehow confused because he used to do sports on K-Rock and he did Fox Sports. I rarely spoke of sports on the man show. I never said anything about sports. Don't talk to use it as a metaphor. Know about it, but never really talked about it. So it's weird to be called the braying sports aficionado when you've never done sports.
So your question is whether or not they even meant you.
Some of the stuff I read about myself is so inaccurate that I wonder if they were confused in talking about the other guy.
Right, but the difference between, I think, you and I and Teresa is if they said the braying sportscaster, you'd wonder.
Right.
Now, for me, I've never said anything about sports except I don't know them. But if they said that gravelly voiced sportscaster is ugly, I'd go, well, they're definitely not talking about me.
Right.
But Teresa would get that gravelly voiced sportscaster is really ugly. And sure, they were talking about her.
I would hear the ugly part.
Yeah, yes. You got to stop thinking this all applies to you.
Well, it was weird. When I first started here at the Adam Carolla Show, this same site wrote a very lengthy piece, all of which was inaccurate, and I was shocked that he never fact-checked. It wasn't mean to me, so it didn't hurt, but his thesis was, and he wrote it as fact. He said, CBS Radio got together, and all the suits got together, and I think the headline was, Girl Saves Drowning Show, and it said, they needed a liberal to save the show, and it was this whole I'm not that liberal. I'm fiscally conservative. I don't believe in affirmative action. I don't support a lot of welfare programs. I'm not that liberal. And secondly,
not a huge fan of comedy.
And secondly, there was never a huge meeting with any suits in New York. I never met anyone in New York. And to be honest, I got this job basically because you, Adam, flipped a coin between me and some girl with better boobs.
Mm.
Oh, nice job there.
Remember?
Man, I like Jerry.
I mean, was there ever a powwow about hiring a liberal?
I have your back. I have your back, but I'd love to be able to recognize it from your front.
And this was completely fabricated.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
that's
it is.
How it works.
Carolla's fans aren't like regular fans, though. When I get here, because they're fanatics. They're just, he's Carolla American genius, and he knows the answers to their lives. He's like got, in the beginning, and I'm talking about you, like you're not here, but when I first got here, the fan base was not like the guys on the radio. Like Mark and Brian and Kevin being those guys. They're funny or they're not funny, and that's it. I met a large percentage of listeners that really felt like Adam had the answers, that he could go start a church somewhere, and these guys would follow him off a cliff if he went. Do you know, I told you two letters I got, one with my wife on the phone so she could back me up that somebody would be this mean. They said, just because I was here. I hope, this is almost too mean to say on the radio, I feel so bad. I hope your husband and children, no, I hope you and your children, this is to my wife, are raped 1,000 times by an AIDS patient in front of your husband so he has to watch you all die slowly. That was for getting a job.
That's for being on
that's
the radio?
That's just for being on the radio. Then well, hundreds of things to me
hold on,
for...
That's horrible, but thank you. I mean, I do appreciate that kind of...
Loyalty?
Loyalty, yeah. I mean, I don't condone it,
most
but I mean...
Most of them are just...
These are fans, yeah.
Yeah, most of them were just die of cancer.
Oh, okay.
Cancer was a big one. You know, I can't believe you're on the Adam Carolla Show, bringing it down to that level. It was all about the level of the Adam Carolla Show is now going to come down to a giant fart joke.
Well,
and they're just really rapid fire small fart jokes.
Did you say giant fart, Brian?
Come on. By the way, nobody laughs harder. I have said this, I've said this many times as it pertains to farts.
Thank you.
I am not one of these guys who cracks themselves up. I'm not like Jimmy Fallon in an SNL sketch. I am one of the comedians or one of the whatever I am who rarely cracks myself up. I laugh sometimes at what other people say, and I rarely laugh at what I say. Part of it is I don't think you're supposed to laugh at your own jokes, especially when you're telling them. But the second part is I don't find myself that amusing. I already knew what the words were in my head before they came out of my mouth, usually. So I'm used to them by the time I hear them. That being said, if I'm alone and I fart, I will laugh.
A solitary fart laugher?
Yes, and if I break wind in front of someone, I will laugh even harder. And if they break wind in front of me, I'm good to go. Even in a bad movie, yeah. When there's no laughs to be found, if the person lets one go, especially if they're jogging upstairs,
right.
Or they put it in some, they do like a 9-stepper or something, I will laugh my ass off. I did like a 12-stepper going up the, maybe I should make it 13, going up the stairs of my old house, which had a bunch of stairs. I was alone. I stood on that stoop and laughed my ass off, literally.
There's something about... what is it? Is it a duck barking or I've stepped on a duck? Is
right.
That the expression?
Yes.
I was in Central Park and I let one go and it went with every step and wouldn't stop. And it was the most embarrassing. I tried to sneak one out. And
yeah.
It literally with every step went for sure. Like ever. It was horrifying and I couldn't make it stop. And
well,
Amy and I are really not in that part of our relationship yet where that's all that funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I stepped on a duck. I'm walking on ducks, and that turned into I'm walking on ducks' backs.
Yo,
oh, and don't feel good.
That show has reached a new low.
That's now like the funniest thing in our little pathetic lives. That if somebody cuts one, we sing I'm walking on ducks' backs. Even her mother does it. She doesn't actually walk on a duck's back, but she'll sing the song.
The old house I lived in had literally 65 stairs from the street to my front door landing, and. Once I'd be coming home from Loveline at 12:30 at night, so it's the middle of the night, no one's around, and I'm living alone at the time. And every 6 months, I'd peel one off at the foot, like at the first step, and then one would come around the fifth step as I was chugging up the stairs. And now it became a challenge and a race. I was racing my own anus.
Wow.
Can I make it to the top still blowing wind? You know what I mean? It was. But somewhere around, you know, the midway point, now I wanted to make it through to the end. It's
yeah.
Like that. Sometimes you go underwater in your swimming pool or anyone's swimming pool and you swim a couple of feet. And then sometimes you go underwater and you swim a couple of feet and you get to the halfway point of the pool and a little thing goes off in your head and goes, make it to the other side of the water. You have to try to drown and kill yourself. For some reason, you do that thing where you go like in a pool or you're doing anything that's like that. You're going underwater for a little while and a little thing goes off in your head and goes, you got to make it to the other side and you can't come up with a breath. Go. I did the same thing farting up my stairs.
You
about,
raised your anus. Now, was your
3 days a year.
Was your anus on the clear like Marion Jones?
It's still being tested. All right. It is wearing the yellow jersey. That's what you want to know. A little Tour de France reference there, everyone. All right. We need to take ourselves a break.
I'm too ugly for television.
You're beautiful.
Thanks.
Now feel good. Would you please?
I'll try.
Okay.
This is a quality problem. I understand people have real problems.
Yes, they do. Well, first off, there's people that are really ugly. Number one. I mean, look, let me just be...
Bitch.
Let me just be honest.
You know, I was just really nice to her. Did mm-hmm. you see that?
She gave a look.
Sheesh, you go, like, there are people who are really ugly. And just looked at me and kind of winked and smiled.
What was that?
Thank
was,
you for being really ugly.
It was an imploring look, like, am I one of those people?
No, here's the rules. One out of every three people is ugly. So look to your left, then look to your right. And if those people aren't ugly, it's you.
Yes.
Okay? Adam Carolla, 6 feet tall, nice looking man, got a lot of dough, hot looking chick on my right with a lot of cleavage on, makes me the ugly guy. I knew. You didn't have to give me the look. I knew.
But it's like one out of 20 women will get breast cancer, but doesn't necessarily mean the 20 women that are in the same elevator, although you are ugly.
Yeah.
But no. I just wanted to say this as far as everyone and everyone's looks. You don't have to be hot. You don't have to be ugly. What you have to do is get past a certain cutoff point. There's a cutoff point physically where you may not be everyone's cup of tea, and you may not be able to turn Brad Pitt's head, but you're good enough looking to then go out and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Make enough money, put yourself together, run with a certain social circle. Good enough. It certainly works with guys.
Yeah.
Guys, once they get past the good enough line, and that's a four, depending on how much money they want to make and what kind of car they want to drive, and aren't you going to play the Lycus laugh, by the way, and whatever else they're going to do, that's good enough. For women,
one more fart.
Sadly, it's a little bit higher, but T, really, and I know this doesn't sound like a compliment, it just should be food for thought and consolation. You are well past whatever that mark is. Thus, your future is in your own hands. You can be with an attractive guy. You can date many guys. You can do whatever you want. Once you get past that, it's up to you. Now, if you are so piping, smoking hot, you don't have to do anything. That's another piece of rarefied air that most people don't get to. A lot of us
don't care for.
Most people fall in the in-between zone of good looking enough to basically do what we want in life. It's not going to hold you back from being employed. And not so hot that we don't have to talk, have a rap, make some money, drive a car, have a life, have a career, have a personality, go for what we're going after. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So, super smoking hot gets to sit at the end of the bar and wait for guys to pick her up. Super butt ugly can buy everyone in the bar a drink and still not get laid unless Bonaducci's off the wagon and in said bar. And then there's all the rest of us. You see someone you're attracted to, send over a drink and go over there and give them your rap. That's where we're all at. All right.
Same thing. I just send over a 50 and then start the discussions from there.
We'll take ourselves a break. Yom Kippur was last Friday, right?
Yeah.
We decided during Yom Kippur, which is a holiday for forgiveness, and I know I'm sort of butchering that, but I'll just move along. What do you need to be forgiven for? We did this last Friday, and we liked it. I think we'll just call it Forgiveness Friday.
Forgiveness Friday. Can I just tell you something that everybody, because I'm kind of a walking, because I'm out all the time, and I'm a walking barometer of what people really seem to like on this show, and they thought, and they called it Forgiveness Friday right off the bat on their own. They loved it.
Well, then prove it by calling 866-901-ADAM. We will forgive you. You tell us what the sin is. Yes.
Ordained minister right here. Adam, all smart guy. Teresa, all hot, Emmy-winning journalist, and an ordained minister. If between the three of us, we can't figure out a way to absolve you of your sin, you're going straight to hell, and we'll save
you
from that.
That's right. Man of the cloth, a genius, and someone with a nose for radio. Oh, baby, I meant you sniffed out the good news stories.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. Forgiveness Friday, 866-901-ADAM. We'll do it next.
Yeah.
Start with Adam.
Especially if it's your sister.
In Salem, Oregon. Yes, get your sister off your chest.
We forgive you.
What's happening, Adam?
Hello. Hey. One time I was at work, and it was like just at first break, and I went down to the bathroom, and inside one of the stalls I found a wallet. It had like $500 in it. So I took $100 out of it and turned it in. Found. Later on, a couple hours later at lunchtime, a guy came running up to me and he goes, "Oh, thank you so much, my friend, for bringing my wallet back." And he pops out $20 and hands it to me, and just, I felt so bad.
Yeah, first off, you were like, "That's only 20% of my vig. I wet my beak already. Thanks, Sanjay. When he called you my friend, I just did the right. Sanjay math. Thank you, my friend.
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar.
Yeah, that must have made you feel bad, and then it's weird because you have to give it back. That's a strange cat. Now, most people who find a wallet will return the wallet.
Yeah.
We do nothing but beat our society up and ourselves up. We beat this country up. First, we beat this country up. The news. We sit around and we talk about how we bombed those poor people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki when millions of them would have been slaughtered, as well as our guys, if we'd decided to take over the mainland of Japan.
Saved millions of lives,
but we beat ourselves up. We beat ourselves up for all the atrocities and the war and whatever else. We sit around and beat ourselves up for torturing people by showing Islamic guys pornography and dumping water on their head when they're putting us in burlap sacks and tossing us off five-story buildings onto concrete slabs. We do nothing but beat ourselves up. That's what we do as a country, and then we beat ourselves up as individuals by saying, people will rip you off. We're not living, you know, people, people, people. BS. If a car goes into an effing lake on a crowded highway, there's 10 of us jumping into the lake trying to get the kids out of the car. That's the way it works. Turn the news on. For every one story you hear about the woman in the alley crying rape and nobody helped her, which, by the way, when's the last time you heard that story? There's 500 stories of somebody crashing, a school bus turning over, something catches on fire, and it's always a handful of guys that pull over. One guy's calling 911. The other guy's jumping into the river trying to get the person out of the car. We're pretty good.
Yeah, look, Adam, he returned the wallet, Adam from Oregon.
Yes.
With right. Most of the cash.
He wiped his ass with 520s sitting in the stall next to the one that was lost, and then he gave it back. We did an experiment long before, I think, either one of you was here.
Yeah, I remember it.
Were you here when we did this experiment?
Here,
or we spoke
it was
about
called
it.
The Adam Carolla Show.
I have. It didn't work out.
It's called Jimmy Breska.
I have. I took a cell phone, and I took a wallet, and I took the wallet, and I took all the ID out of it and all the plastic out of it, and I just put, I think it was $100 in it, and I said to intern whoever, go out and just drop it by a bus stop. Now, on the wallet was a phone number that said, if found, please call this number. And then we wanted to find out, A, if the phone would ring, and B, would it have the $100 in it?
Right, of course.
Go out, and we tested it in all different parts of the neighborhood. Test it in a nice neighborhood. Test it in a bad neighborhood. Do it on the cell phone. Do it on the wallet. They all called back almost immediately. Nothing was stolen, and the money was left inside. That was as random as I could get, as scientific as I could make it. And according to just whatever our numbers were, we were literally 10 for 10.
Right.
In all different neighborhoods, all different ethnicities and sexes, just being dropped on the sidewalk.
So according to Corolla Istics, people are basically good.
If you give them the opportunity to be good.
Yeah.
You see, if they find a wallet with no ID and nothing in it but cash, they'll think to themselves, I could go make a sign, put it up at this bus right. stop, take a picture of the wallet, screw it, I'll take the money. That's what people do. But if you put a phone number there, now there's a mandate. Now they have to think, you know what, I could have done the right thing, and I didn't. I put a phone number, and I put please call, and I put a little, I get my little, why not, their sponsors, Brother P Touch out.
Right on.
I make a little thing, and it says, if found, please call, and it's on my wallet, it's on my cell phone, it's on my iPod. And if I drop it jogging or getting out of the car, whatever, I'm confident that some guy with a mask and, you know, dressed as the Hamburglar is not going to run by and grab it. It's going to be some secretary who's on the way running late for work, picks it up, sits down at her desk, thinks for a second about taking the money, and then realizes she lost her wallet a couple years back and remembers how it felt. And then she'll pick up the phone at her desk and she'll call me.
Well, let me ask about Adam, our caller, because it sounds like you forgive him. He's absolved. He gave back the wallet. He took his vig. But I hear in his voice that maybe he still has guilt. And if he returned or, you know, gave the rest of the money back, maybe he'd feel better.
Hey, Adam.
Yes, sir.
You work with the guy, right?
No longer, but I used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know where he is?
No.
Do you think you could figure it out?
I could probably get the roster or something from work.
I think it would be a great emotional pilgrimage for you to find out where he lives, send him a note, send him the $100, keep the 20 he gave you for the finder's fee. That was his thing. give him $18 because it's accrued some interest over the months and years. And I think that would be the most liberating. As a matter of fact, as far as you spending $100, that's about the cost of a massage.
Yeah.
That's about the cost of going out and having a nice meal with you and your lady, or maybe maybe even more. That would be the best $100 you've ever spent in your life. And by the way, it's not even your $100 that you're spending, and if you think about it.
Yeah, and by the way, when Adam said, because it's probably accrued some interest, you should add that. Put that in. Here's another $18 because it's probably made interest by now. Because I think that's following it through all the way. I was going to disagree with Adam just to say, you know, it's been too long. You returned as well. But I think that's something you should do. And that's, I guess, the point of this moment for you. That would be $100 really wisely spent. Here, man, this has been haunting me. I took this and you gave me that 20 anyway. I've always felt it. Well, here's your money back. I think that would be an amazing moment for you.
I got to say, the Corollas weren't much for, you know, talks and lessons and here's how life goes. But as I've said before, when I was, must have been 7, found a $50 bill on the ground in the Cherry Hill Mall in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Not $50 in a wallet with no license in it. $50 loose, a $50 bill, and we're talking not only 1973 dollars, but we're talking Corolla dollars. Now go ahead and triple it or quadruple it because it was 1973 and a gallon of gas was 49 cents, and then go ahead and triple it because I'm living with the Corollas. That $50 was really $1,000 to a 9-year-old who didn't get too many toys and never saw a dollar. My mother, when I showed her the $50, and my mother, who, you know, later on hammered a couple welfare checks and never had money in her life, walked us over to the lost and found and returned it.
I love that story.
And and I was 8 or 9 or 7. I was a little kid, and I said, even then I said, well, who's gonna claim a loose $50? And she said, well, it's not ours.
Yeah.
And she returned it to the lost man. I was like, the bitch behind the counter is going to take it right up her nose. It's going up her nose. You know what she's going to do with her mom? She's going to roll that 50 up. She's going to do herself an 8-ball because drugs were cheap back then. And then she's going to go spend the 50 on shiny things and porn. Let's take the 50 and head to the toy store. Nope. We're turning it in, and we turned it in, and somebody claimed it. And that person, heavy set woman of color, like a old school house cleaner, old school, showed up at our house and gave me a reward.
Really?
Oh my God.
You know, when you're a kid, like, you know, there's certain things you think about that happened when you were young and you just kind of look back at them. Yeah, it happened. I was 7. I was whatever. And then there are other times you when you examine them through the eyes of an adult, you want to scream holy S as loud as you can in a crowded mall. Like, A, holy S, I found a loose 50. I'm turning it into the lost and found at the Cherry Hills Mall. B, somebody went to the lost and found of the Cherry Hill Mall and went, hey, I dropped a loose $50 bill. Yeah. Like, what are the odds?
I mean, would never even think to
you would
that.
Never even think of it. C, the guy working at the lost and found at the Cherry Hill Mall didn't go, hey, baby, I don't know what you're talking about, which would have been the easiest, I don't know what you're talking about, and the easiest 50, that guy who was probably making $1.26 an hour in 1973 working. I mean, that was a week's paycheck after taxes for him. He gave it back to her, and then she drove to my house and handed me $10 as a reward, which I had to split with my effing sister. I was like, what the hell did she have to do with it? The point is, as an adult, I think about that, and I just want to scream at the top of my lungs. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Norm kicked a co-worker's ass. Norm?
Yep.
It's Forgiveness Friday. Don't tell us exactly what happened, but you physically beat up a coworker.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we should be able to help you with this one.
And you would like to apologize.
Yeah.
Or at least be forgiven. At least be forgiven. All right. It's Forgiveness Friday. We'll continue with Norm beating up a coworker next.
The Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
Christ, did a cow shit in here?
The Adam Carolla Show. This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's Friday, and here to tell us all about the big show, Program Director Jack Silver.
Happy Talktober, peeps! Today, from the heartbreak kid, Ben Stiller! No way, Ben Stiller! You gotta be shitting me! The star of the new series K-ville, Anthony Anderson! The crew makes their NFL gambling picks! And more calls from the Crank Yankers vault! Ah, Crank Yanker! That was the Jackman's nickname in junior high! And high school! And college! And the last 4 years of my marriage.
Late. Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's Forgiveness Friday. We're going to forgive Norm from Portland in a second. Norm?
Yep.
You did what to a coworker's ass?
Kind of wiped up the floor with it.
What happened?
It's about, you know, a half an hour before my shift ended, and one of my coworkers came in just rip-roaring drunk, making an ass out of himself and basically pissing me and everybody else off, and didn't really need to do what I did, but I guess I wound up kind of throwing him on the floor, and being that he was drunk, he wasn't able to put his hands out and catch himself and kind of landed on his face.
Definitely not a Jew.
You're just sitting there at H&R Block in front of your computer when a coworker comes in. Where do you work?
Food warehouse.
Mm-hmm. So he came in drunk. You beat his ass. And then what?
Well, I guess he wound up in the hospital. He fractured his eye socket and broke his nose.
That was your fist that broke his orbital socket in his nose?
Well, actually, I think it was more of his head hitting the concrete after I kind of.
Well, turnabout is Johnny Fair Play, I've always said. So you busted this guy up. Now, did he sue you? Did he sue the company?
No, I think he was too drunk to even remember what happened.
That's nice, because we are living in a society where you can show up to work loaded, start mouthing off to your coworkers and being belligerent, and if your face hits the floor, you will sue their asses out of existence. Very sad, but true. Now, did you ever apologize to him in person?
Not yet, no.
And do you guys still work together?
Yes, we do.
And is it not uncomfortable when he comes around and sees the guy who beat him up working the shift in front of him?
Well, I don't think he really remembers who exactly it was, so.
Mm-hmm. Now, is he a scary guy when he's sober?
No, he's actually a pretty nice guy when he's sober. I'd never really seen him like that before. It kind of caught me off guard, and, you know.
Do you think you could beat him up when he was sober?
I think it would probably be a pretty good match.
But you think you might take him?
I think so.
All right, well then go apologize. Because that's what it's all based on.
Right.
You going up to somebody, like I said, I remember when the scary Mexican guy who I beat up a long time ago moved into my apartment building, and I remember looking at him thinking, wow, this guy is a very scary looking Mexican guy. And then later on, when I found out I beat him up some years earlier, I was in the driver's seat because we were being friendly. He's a scary guy, but I'm the guy who beat him up last time we got into a fight, so I had the upper hand. If you apologize for beating a guy up, he'll think twice about beating you up for beating him up, because the last time you guys beat somebody up, you beat his ass. So go ahead and apologize, but we forgive you.
Yeah.
You are absolved, my son.
He was drunk. He was belligerent. All right, let's see. Verbally abused a wife.
See, I thought that was actually a request, the way I read it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way it reads from my angle, verbally abuse my wife, please. And I was thinking, okay, I'm pretty good at that.
Well, maybe we
could, woke me up for.
Maybe we could do that for her. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
What's happening?
All right. Yesterday, my wife called me at work. I work 96 hours a week, so half the week I'm sleeping in my truck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an exterminator. I do sales in the day.
Hold on, you're making tea hot. Go ahead.
As you would say, Adam, life in the fast lane.
Guy wearing a jersey with a giant cockroach on it, falling asleep with a lit cigarette inside his van. Hot.
I'll see you at the B'nai B'rith yard sale that Sunday.
All right, so you work your ass off.
Yeah, my wife works in an office. She does the 9-to-5, and she rolled her chair up and smashed her finger between her chair and her desk.
Mm-hmm.
Broke her finger. They give her a month off because she can't only type. They don't want her typing with one hand.
Right.
The doctor said, you can, I'm telling her, I said, you're right-handed, you did see a left hand.
Right.
I don't see what the big deal is. You want to take a month off?
Yeah.
Because, you only get 60% of whatever they're going to give you.
Yeah.
So I told her she's just being lazy.
Let me just give a quick piece of advice to all the blue-collar guys who grew up playing Pop Warner football, who did that. Come on, get up. You just got the wind knocked out of you. Rub some dirt on it. Let's go.
Shake it off, John.
Yeah.
Run it off.
Chicks don't dig that run it off.
Yeah.
They don't dig that run it off. There's no such thing as rubbing dirt on premenstrual cramps.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get that. Every single guy grew up standing over at some point. Another guy who's like, I got hit in the belly, I can't breathe. Go, get up.
Suck it up.
You're fine. Suck it up. Run it off. Yeah, chicks hate that. Learn the hard way. So, John, you told her to rub some dirt on her broken finger, and she decided to stay home from work, and you did what?
I was actually at my office job, and I was screaming, and, a co-worker's kind of looking at me, and, none of my wife's crying.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, don't cry, and... Then I called her a vagina, pretty much, but I used another word. And,
what?
Wait a minute. You dropped the C-bomb?
No, the P. I dropped
the C-bomb. Oh, all right.
But the thing is I hung up on her, and I haven't been home. I had to work last night, so I didn't, after I got off, traffic was so bad on the 405, I just decided to go right to work
and
for my other job, and I haven't been home yet, so I haven't had a chance to apologize, and...
Right.
I tried to call her, and she wouldn't take my call.
Wish you were dead.
So it's pretty bad.
And by the way, this is why you don't F with the guys who show up at your house to do anything. The cable guy, the exterminator guy, the gas guy, because what happened is Brian has gone without sleep for 3 days, got into a big blowout with his wife, slept in his van, and now he's walking around my house with a Hudson sprayer and a puss on, and then I pop out of the shower with my towel on, and I'm like, hey, dude, you missed a spot. And he's like, ah! And he drops a Hudson sprayer and charges at me and starts beating the bejesus out of me with a fireplace poker. And I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? I didn't do anything. Right. But this guy hasn't slept for 3 days, and his wife threw him out of the house, and he's beaked up on no-dos, and he's in no mood.
Well, I feel for Brian because he's obviously very hardworking, overtired, exhausted, frustrated, and sometimes you say things you don't mean, and I think if he apologizes with some flowers.
I got an idea, Brian. How about you go home, you get that Hudson sprayer, and you write, I love you and roach killer on the lawn. In about 3 days, it'll die and spell it out right in front of the bedroom window.
Okay. Happens to be happening at this very moment, but I'm referring to a different time. Somebody wrote me a note in lipstick on the mirror. Way overrated.
Yeah.
Days of getting that crap off of smear, and especially if you happen to be cheating.
Right. And especially if it was a dude who he thought was a chick. All right. Should we do one?
Susie, nice penis. Love Danny.
Should we do one more? Let's see. Threw Ant out of house for drinking his booze. 4 chicken-ass tickets at the DMV. Now, why do we have to forgive him for that? Hey, John?
Hey, Adam. How say you? Yay or nay?
I say yay, but what's up?
Okay. I want to be absolved for the 4 chicken-ass tickets that are on my driver's license.
But that doesn't require an apology from me. That requires an apology from the guy on the bike that pulled you over and wrote you the chicken-ass tickets.
Well, do you think you can contact the DMV and have them apologize and maybe remove them from my life?
There's a part of me that wants to go down this road. There's another part of me that doesn't want to unleash the fury I'm probably going to have when I hear how you got the 4 chicken-ass tickets.
Probably right.
All right, John. Move forward. 10-2. Drive slowly and put on that front plate.
Yeah. Plus, if we do that, then we're going to have to absolve Adam from all the things he says about our government.
I will spin DMV. Out. Yes.
We're going to have to say, it's okay, Adam, we forgive you. And we don't have time for that. We're busy forgiving you.
John?
Yeah?
We're going to forgive you very quickly. What is the issue?
Well, my aunt became homeless, and I let her stay at my apartment. And she started drinking my beer, which was micro brews.
Oh, man.
And she drank my vodka. It was only Smirnoff, but she filled
she
it
made
with
in the
water.
Bathroom. Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah.
She filled it with water and it froze. So she tried to lie about it, and that kind of hurt my feelings.
Uh-huh. Because you keep the Smirnoff in the freezer and the alcohol doesn't freeze, but the water would. Like if you water down someone's booze and it's in the freezer, that's not a great plan.
Right.
Let me just say something I just thought of, and by the way, John, I forgive you, but now I'm on to my own thought. People have been watering down booze forever.
Yeah.
And you water down the clear stuff like the vodka and the gin. It's hard to water down the stuff that has color to it because when the amber color turns clear, it's clear that it's been watered down. But I would say vodka is probably the number one booze to be watered down. Yeah. How about this? We add a scent to natural gas so you can tell. Otherwise, it doesn't have a scent, and otherwise, your ass will blow up because you won't know there's a pipe leak in your house, and you'll light a cigarette, and that'll be the last we see of Bonaducci right. In his new condo. So we add a scent to it. So instead of Danny going into his kitchen and lighting a cigarette and blowing up, this time Danny goes into his kitchen, smells the scent of natural gas and goes out on his patio and has a smoke before he then calls the gas company.
Always thinking.
Right.
Always thinking.
How about we add a color to clear booze? This will eliminate the watering down process.
What color do you want vodka?
You make it blue. You make it like a light blue color. You make it like a turquoisey color. A, it looks cool. B, yeah. The brothers will love it because that's their thing. And C, end of watering problem because you will see the color change.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
Why not? What could it cost the company that makes it? 2 pennies a bottle. B, stops the problem. And C, makes those fruity drinks that much better, that much easier on the eye. All right. I think I just invented something.
I do too.
We'll take ourselves a break. T.
Yep.
What's coming up in the news, baby girl?
Well, I've got some news about Sinead O'Connor and her mental problems. And also, a man killed himself in front of a city council. Mm. I will tell you why.
Heard about that. All right, the news next on The Adam Carolla Show.
This is The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning from Kayville, Anthony Anderson. Some classic calls from the Crank Anchor's Vault. From the Heartbreak Kid and There's Something About Mary, Ben Stiller. Plus, go to AdamCarolla.com and choose the topics for This Week in Rage.
You idiot.
Adam will go off.
You're crapping in our punch bowl.
866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, that'd be true, but it's time for a girl named Teresa and her news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
In Clarksville, Tennessee, a business owner shot and killed himself during a city council meeting last night after members voted against his request to rezone his property. Ronald Bo Ward, the owner of Bo's Barbershop, had told the council that his barbershop was going to go under if he couldn't get his home rezoned as commercial. After he lost the vote, he walked toward the council. He said, "Y'all have put me under. I'm out of here." And then he shot himself in the head with a small handgun.
Good times. Look, I was just thinking about this story. Yes, when you deal with the city, I just thought about something I have to do. Dealing with the city will make you insane.
Yes.
Dealing with the man.
Yeah.
You've never felt more violated.
Or powerless.
Helpless.
I didn't tell you, guy, I came home a week ago and there was a like fix it whatever on my kitchen counter. And I was like, Ozzy, what's going on? Some guy came over from the city, said he's not going to give me final on my kitchen remodel, which I did like 2 years ago. if I don't put that snorkel vent thing right on the countertop above my dishwasher. Now, I've told you this story before because the guy has done it to me in another house some years earlier. But imagine this. Somebody walks into your house, and believe me, whoever walked into my house, in terms of taxes and in terms of property taxes, I guarantee I pay 20 to 100 times what that guy pays. But that guy gets to walk into my house. He gets to look at my pristine kitchen, and he gets to say, yeah, you see this marble countertop? You better have a drill that can make it through, that can punch a hole through the top of this. Then you have to pull the dishwasher out. Then you have to hook up this ugly breathing device that's going to sit atop your counter, in the middle of your counter, for your dishwasher, which doesn't require it. Because when you install the dishwasher, they have one page that says, here's how you install it with the snorkel. And then they have another page that says, if you don't want to use the snorkel, well, here's how you can install it. That's been around for 10 years. The city is using codes from the 50s. The dishwasher works fine. It doesn't release anything into the environment. It doesn't release anything into the house. It's been functioning for over 3 years with no difficulties. And a guy gets to walk into my house and tell me to drill a hole on top of my counter and then spend a day pulling things out, reconnecting plumbing, and to the result, nothing. Except for I have a snorkel sticking out of the top of my counter that I don't want. Now, the reality is I would probably put the snorkel somewhere, and I don't know where, without drilling a hole in the top of my counter. Maybe I would drill a hole in the counter, put the snorkel in, pull the thing out, hook everything up, push the thing back, call the guy over, he signs it off, pull it out, undo everything, pull out the snorkel, and put a soap dispenser where the snorkel hole was just to try to make some effing lemonade out of the lemons the city has dealt me. The point is the manufacturer is fine with the way I installed it, and so is everybody else, except for the one old F in the city, and that's the one guy. And he gets to walk in your house and tell you what to do. I understand the Ruby Ridges of the world and the Wacos to a certain degree and the guys that kill themselves and kill other people. When you then take the manual for the dishwasher and you send it back to the guy so the plumbing expert can examine it downtown, and then he sees the page that says you can hook it up without the snorkel, but he still comes back and says, nah, put the snorkel in. You want to kill somebody, including yourself. You have no recourse. This is why communism is horrible. This is why the city blows ass. This is why this, even though it's the greatest government on the planet, still could use some real serious fine tuning. Yeah, I understand these guys, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do. There's a part of me that just wants to go, F you, change your stupid code from the 50s, you effing retards. Okay, T, what's the rest of this?
Wait. So maybe I just don't know anything, but sometimes are you too smart for your own good? Can't you just crazy glue that snorkel thing down to the top of the thing, let the guy come over, see that it's there, get him out of your house, and then rip it the hell off?
I could have done it before you spoke about it on the radio, Bonaducci. Now he's going to come over.
I just didn't think it was possible because I thought of it, and it had to do with home repair sort of thing.
You know what? I will gladly try that, and here's the deal. Anyone who thinks that this is dishonest can kiss my hairy Italian ass. There's nothing better than effing with people that are effing with you for no reason. Sorry. Go
the
ahead,
more
T.
You know.
Yes. Please. All right, I'll try to... Yeah, I hope he doesn't turn the thing on. Well, anyway, it'll be funny.
Right.
All right, I'll do that.
The recording industry has won the first court battle in the war against illegal downloading and file sharing. This is a big, big deal. A jury in Minnesota unanimously found 30-year-old Jamie Thomas guilty of violating the copyrights on 24 songs. In all, six labels sued her for infringement of 24 recordings that their investigator observed her sharing on Kazaa, which is a file sharing, what did you call it? A software?
It's a service, peer-to-peer service.
That's right. Those songs were only a sample of the 1,702 they claim she was sharing. Now, Thomas, who's a single...
No problem with this. Right. I know it doesn't sound... I sound like the man, and I don't sound hip and cool with the kiddies. You create a product, you sell the product.
Right.
There's no difference... what if I just walked up to your churro stand and I said, right. I'll be taking a few of those. And you go, well, I baked those at 4 this morning and I used my material and my money to do it. And then I carted it over here and you went, nah, I'm going to take a few of those. I'm going to share them with my friends too. And I started handing them out and eventually nobody wanted to buy your churros because I just gave it to them for free. And then when you went, hey, man, knock it off. I went, whoa.
What could possibly be the problem?
What's going on, Pops? Why are you so uptight?
Let me just tell you the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. Thomas is a single mother, and she's insisted that not only did she not share any of the songs, but she never downloaded or uploaded any music.
I saw her on the news. Is there such a thing as a double mother? She's a big woman.
I see. A single
once
double.
Once you crack 190...
You're not a single mother.
She's at least a mom and a half. Now, to be sure, there's no man on the scene. I don't want to confuse things,
yes.
But single's not what you think of when you see her going down the sidewalk.
Well, the jury did not believe her that she hadn't downloaded or uploaded any music, and they awarded...
She's a double-wide mother.
Right.
Yes.
Overall, she was ordered to pay $222,000. She is the first... to go to court among the more than 26,000 people who've been sued for stealing music. As you may have heard, many just settle up with the recording industry. They pay a fine of a few thousand dollars. They don't go to court. But she turned down a similar offer, racked up $60,000 in legal fees trying to fight it. Now, it could have been worse because the jury could have found her guilty of willful infringement. That would have bumped the penalty up to $150,000 per song.
I'm sorry, I'm fascinated now with my single and double. As a matter of fact, I think it would save time in the personal ads.
Yeah.
Double white female.
I see.
But then you know.
I mean, you know. You wouldn't have to get in. First off, the Chubby Chasers would know right where to go.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Chubby Chasers just go hop on Craigslist, go right after double white female or double black female, whatever.
Right.
Whatever it is, just go right for the double. And then it would save that super embarrassing thing where you go... So, what do you look like? Or
I'm a double wide.
Big gal?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the person goes, I used to be in great shape, but I hurt my back. And you're like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this could be a long day.
Here we go. That conversation, that ramp up into fat.
Yeah.
The ramp up into fat. It is weird, the part of your mind that starts the scale turning. You know what I mean? It's like when you're asking him the scale, like you can see that scale in your mind, and you're like... how much do you weigh or what do you look like? And you're starting about 130 and they go, well, and all of a sudden it's up to 140 and they go, I used to play soccer in high school. Whoop, now it's up to 160
right.
Until we're at 175. I hurt my back when I was, it's like, you see that scale like moving? It's like, you ever go to pick your car up from the mechanic and you're like, so what do I owe you? And he goes, well, and you're like, oh, we're at 89 bucks. Yeah, we needed a special bracket. Ooh. Then once we drop the pan, we notice the bearings. Now, as long as we'd gone ahead and pulled the crank, we decided to go ahead and turn the flywheel. We resurfaced.
900.
No use replacing the clutch. We're not going to turn the flywheel. I mean, that's just the way. It's just like, you don't realize it, but there's that cha-ching and that scale and that whatever that just starts going in your head. This could eliminate all that with the double white female.
Yeah, they do have a number of terms. There's curvy and Rubenesque.
I'm just following the logic of what happens when you get to triple.
Triple white.
Triple white.
Rubenesque is eating way too many Reuben sandwiches.
That's how you get Rubenesque.
Mm. Who's the genius who decided that they should take... what is that, sauerkraut? Pile it on top of pastrami.
Is that good? I've never eaten one of those.
Yes.
It's Rubens good?
Are good.
What could be bad? It is
rye
bread that is just drenched in like fat and grease that has cheese and pastrami and mustard and sauerkraut on. You're a Jew and you've never had a Reuben sandwich?
I'm a vegetarian.
I thought they put that in your bottles.
Does that sound perfect to you, Adam? Because if so, I'd really like to play a quick game of what can Danny complain about.
Yes.
What do you think I hear when I say, hey, I'd like to eat a Reuben.
Oh, what do you Reuben think I Kincaid.
Got my whole friggin' life ordering a Reuben. Aww. Gonna have a big bite of Reuben, are you, Danny? I thought maybe you did. Everybody thinks they're funny.
Mm.
Not Sinead O'Connor.
Mm. I saw
she
that.
She may be the one person that doesn't bother ever cracking a joke.
I saw it.
You saw her in Oprah?
I couldn't believe it.
She is the most self-important, serious, morose person on the planet, yes?
I would agree, although she had a very good moment. She actually had a light and very likable moment. I'll get to that in a second, but first, she told Oprah that she'd been suffering from bipolar disorder. She was diagnosed at age 37, relatively later in life, but here's a brief history of Sinead's misery.
What was going on?
Well, I guess I had never particularly been a terribly happy camper. You know? I had a very difficult upbringing, you know. And so
difficult in abuse, abandonment.
I grew up in a very frightening household, basically. So I was always kind of very anxious and not necessarily able to experience happiness or fun or whatever. And I guess when I got to kind of 21, 22, 23, I began to suffer from depression, just regular depression, you know. And I started going to therapy and things like that when I was 28.
Good times.
And then she's asked about Britney Spears, and here's what she has to say about what she thinks Britney should do.
If you could say anything to her, what would you say?
I'd invite her to come and live in Ireland. You know, really, to escape, you know,
get away from it.
It's impossible. I feel so sorry for celebrities in this country. It's absolutely impossible to live a normal life, like, you know, without being followed around. For a girl, like, every time we all mess up, don't we, as moms? No, we never get anything, or we never always get it right, you know. And I think to attack someone as a mother is very dangerous, you know, and I would say that that would put a young girl on a precipice, which is very, very dangerous. And I think some people may end up really regretting the way they're treating her, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Now I'm depressed. Hey, do we still have that small caliber gun that guy killed himself with?
Do you want to kill me or yourself?
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll kill myself, then I'll turn the gun on you.
Wait.
Hmm?
Please kill me first.
Just quiet down. I got a plan. I know what I'm doing.
All right.
Yeah, bad times. And by the way, the whole celebrity thing and you can't get away from, I always just think about Jodie Foster.
She's away.
She makes her movies. She does her thing. She does her producing. I never see a picture of her anywhere. I never see her doing anything. She doesn't walk down the red carpet. Look, if you put yourself in the limelight, then the limelight will find you in times you don't want the limelight to find you. If you are constantly seeking out the limelight, then when you pull over on the side of PCH to take a leak because you're loaded, the limelight will find you. It's your fault for seeking it out in the first place. Britney Spears was driving up her Malibu driveway the other day, I saw on one of these tabloid shows, and as she passed the throng of paparazzi that was gathered out front of her gate, noticed the dome light was on in her Mercedes. It was at night. She'd illuminated the inside of her car so that they could get a good shot of her going up the driveway. Because as you know, when you're driving your car, especially with the limo tint on at night on a dark street, you can't be seen inside the car unless you light up the inside of the car.
Now, even I, possibly the world's biggest media whore, would never have thought of that.
No, impressive, yes.
Yeah, I'm impressed on how that she can think that far ahead.
Yeah, I want to feel badly for her, too. Although, remember when she shaved her head? Can't you just shave your head at home? Do you have to shave it in the window of a public salon?
There's one haircut I can give myself, and it's the shave your head haircut.
Yeah.
I know it because one of my buddy... Actually, I won as Mr. T one year for Halloween, and I went over to my buddy Todd's house, and he got his razor out, and he gave me a huge mohawk. And Ray walked in. He just was coming home from work, and he said, "What are you guys doing?" And my buddy Todd said, "I'm shaving Adam's head. He's going as Mr. T for Halloween." And Ray said, "Fine, I'll go as a Hare Krishna." And he shaved Ray's head on the spot, except for he left a 9-inch ponytail hanging off the top of his head. And he went to parties and people thought he was a Hare Krishna because who's stupid enough to shave their head and leave a 9-inch ponytail on top of it for one party?
I'll tell you.
Ray.
My boy Ray.
And I remember coming home with my mohawk at 19 and my dad, my stepmom looking at me and my dad saying, Well, this will make it that much easier for you to get a job.
Oh, great.
Because they're both sitting around going, if this little African just get a job, he'd move out of the garage. Now Mr. T was going to be putting in applications filled with misspellings. All right, T.
Opening at the box office this weekend, The Heartbreak Kid with Ben Stiller, who's going to be on our show later. Meanwhile, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser, WCNN.
Anthony Anderson. The always jovial Anthony Anderson. He always brings it. That's what I love about Anthony.
Yep.
Great guy. And it's one of these guys, if you IMDb'd him, you'd go, wow, this guy's been in a lot of huge movies. I mean, he was in Transformers and The Departed. Yeah. That was just in the last year and a half. I mean,
this ain't reality TV.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Anthony Anderson next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser from the new series on Fox, K-ville.
Why are you here, Carl?
It really bugs you I don't drink.
No, I just don't get it. Reps in the suit. The pay sucks. Crime is off the charts, but you finish your tour in the Middle East war zone and pop down here to be a cop.
See, I'm getting the sense you don't care much about what I think. I mean, you're drinking on the job, which makes me wonder whether you got my back or not.
All right. Don't pop a blood vessel.
Anthony Anderson is on the Adam Carolla Show.
How are you, my brother? Oh, he's on hold. There he is. Anthony?
Adam, what's going on?
Great to speak to you again, Anthony. Say hi to Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
Hey, Danny. Hey, Teresa. How you guys doing this morning?
We're good, man. What's up?
I'm all right. Just waking up from a long night shoot. That's all.
Are you out in New Orleans now?
Yes, sir.
And how does the schedule go as far as shooting? How many are in the can and how many left to go?
We were picked up for 13. We just finished episode 7 last night, starting episode 8 in a few hours.
I will say this, and thank you for getting up with us. I will
and
say
doing math.
The one thing about showbiz, I like to make fun of everyone in showbiz. I like to complain when they complain about how tough they have it. But the one thing I must say is the hours are rough in show business.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
People don't talk about it, but the hours are horrible.
It's hard to complain because we have the greatest job ever that people would kill for, but it is rough.
And you're flying from coast to coast all the time, so your clock never really gets worked out. Hey, Anthony, first off, congratulations not only on K-ville, but the Transformers, The Departed, Hustle and Flow, and all the great movies you've been in over the last couple of years. Are you still going to do features, even with K-ville?
I hope so, man. Speaking of those hours right now, I just don't have the time to do it. We're banking 16 hours a day right now, five days a week. So doing anything outside of K-ville right now is virtually impossible.
And how is shooting in New Orleans? How are the people holding up after Katrina? And sorry about the Saints, by the way.
But what should we tackle first, the Saints or the people?
Well, they
tackle the Saints. Apparently it's easy.
Yeah. They're not doing any of it themselves.
Well, I don't even know what I said, but I thought it might be funny.
It was good. Here's the thing. The good folks of New Orleans needed the Saints last year. I guess the Saints decided they don't need us this year. They've rebuilt their houses, and we're just going on a losing streak. But how... just traveling through the city, how much do you see that reminds you of Katrina?
You know what, man? It's actually disheartening to drive through certain parts of town. It's as if nothing has changed from 2 years ago. But the people here are great. I've never witnessed a spirit in a person like I've witnessed the spirit in the people here of New Orleans, man. They're resilient, they're strong, they're full of love, and they welcome us with open arms, and that's what's great about this great city here of New Orleans, the people.
Hey, Anthony, can I ask you a question? I will ask. It's a delicate question. It has to do with race, but you live in Los Angeles, correct?
Yes, I do.
I have noticed a huge difference in the brothers of Los Angeles versus the brothers of, let's say, New Orleans and other places.
Okay.
Do you notice that as a black person?
No, I haven't noticed a difference at all. What's the difference that you noticed? We go through the world looking at them with the two different sets of eyes, so let me know what you see.
Well, first of all, I've noticed in Pittsburgh, they're green. So that's a huge difference right there.
They're not even black.
They're not even black.
Hey, Danny, you still have chemicals in your system, man. I think that's what's off in the color.
What, do you think they were going to clear up since 3 hours ago when I hit them?
He belched. And some peyote came up. Well, I'll give you a cultural difference, for instance. Again, this is it's all going to sound horrible. But as I was saying yesterday, I worked construction in Los Angeles for 10, 12 years. I worked with one black guy in those 10, 12 years. I never see any black guys working construction in Los Angeles. I know we have a lot of Hispanic guys who work construction, a fair amount of white guys, but you'll almost never see black guys. They'll work for the city, but you'll never pass home builders and see a bunch of brothers on the site, or rarely ever in Los Angeles. On the other hand, if you go to other cities, you will see tons of black crews doing construction work.
Mm-hmm.
That's a difference. I don't know what it is. I don't know if the Los Angeles brother ain't into it or looks at it as demeaning and the guy in New Orleans doesn't care. I don't know what it is, but that's one of the differences.
No, man. Maybe you might want to check the people who are hiring the brothers or who aren't hiring the brothers in L.A. There's no difference. You know, the people out here are working hard, man, doing what they need to do to make it happen. And coming from my standpoint, you know, a construction worker makes plenty of paper, and that's a respectable gig. I know lots of people back home who would love to have that gig.
I'm not saying it's not a good gig. I'm just saying drive up and down in Los Angeles, past homes being built and shopping malls being built. You rarely see a black guy working in that industry. Yet, if you travel and you pass construction, you'll see it. That's all. I don't know what it means exactly.
No, I've noticed.
What you mean right now, Adam.
I've noticed one major cultural difference, but mostly mine is between black guys and white guys, and that is no matter where I travel, if one of them's the heavyweight champion of the world, he's the black guy.
Yeah, except for there's a middleweight champ and he's a honky now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the Hispanics are kicking ass in the lightweights, but I'm telling you.
The big boys.
When it gets down to it, and it's the only sport I care about, when it gets down to the real brass tacks, this is my only betting strategy in the world. It's just like what's-his-face Snipes. Always bet on black.
Wesley.
I see two big old giant men get in the ring wearing gloves, and one of them is white. I don't even look at the other guy. I just bet on him. My house.
I went to a fight once. This is going to sound. This is going to sound racist. I went to a fight night somewhere once. There were about 10 fights, and I had a bet going with the guy next to me. And whoever got in the ring, he just got the darker guy. If it was two Mexican guys, whoever was darker, he got. That's how we didn't look at. He kicked my ass, by the way, because black don't crack, yeah. Evidently in the ring. Hey, Anthony Anderson.
Yeah, what's up,
Adam? We've gone off in a different direction. I will say this about New Orleans. Here's what I loved about the time I spent in New Orleans. I was in a taxi cab. The taxi cab was hauling ass. There was a cop car. We blew past the cop car. I was screaming at the cab driver because I'm used to driving in Los Angeles. You just passed a cop. Now we're all in trouble. And he said, what are you worried about? And I said, the speed limit's 35. You passed the dude at 42. You passed the cop. You can't drive past a cop. And he said, that guy's got bigger fish to fry than me. And he just motored right along past the cop. And I thought, wow, that must be nice. Because in L.A., if the speed limit posted is 35 and a cop's going 21, you have to go 19 miles an hour behind him because you're so freaked out if you passed him. He's going to pull you over for having the wrong tabs on the license plate or not having a front plate or having too dark a tint on your window or whatever it is.
Package in the trunk and in the glove compartment.
Right. Anthony, how are the cops there in New Orleans?
Oh, the cops are great, man. I would tell you this. I roll around with the SWAT team out here in New Orleans who go on midnight raids in some of the worst places in this town trying to restore order to chaos when they need to. I honestly have a new respect for the men and women who put on a badge and a uniform out here in the city.
And you're going on the ride-alongs with these guys?
Oh, yeah, man. We've served high-risk warrants in some of the worst places at 2 a.m. with concussion grenades and full gear, man.
Now, are you filming this, or are you just doing it for the experience to make Kayville more realistic?
I'm just doing it for the experience, you know.
Oh, see, I don't roll that
realism.
Way. No.
I like that.
Realism.
You know, Anthony Edwards is a serious actor, and I don't know if you know this, Adam, but you know how I'm obsessed with the movie Fame?
Mm-hmm.
He went to the equivalent of the Fame School here in L.A.
Oh, really?
Los Angeles County High School for the Arts.
Really?
He's gay!
I never knew that. I love hearing stories about how his mom beat the crap out of him his entire childhood, but I didn't know he was singing while she was beating the crap out of him.
Were you singing or acting at this school?
My mother was singing while she was whooping the cup.
Yeah, she had this special dance called I'm Singing in the Pain. It was really good.
I'm singing.
Did you study acting at the school, or singing, or dance?
Or ducking?
I did a little bit of it all. I did, you know, dance, theater, you know, all of that stuff. That was part of the curriculum there.
Well, we'll be watching Kayville this Monday on Fox at 9 o'clock. Anthony Anderson, look, you're an actor. You don't have to ride along with the SWAT team and the concussion grenades to the crack houses. It's called acting, buddy. You're good at it.
Yeah, but it's fun, man. It's fun. And imagine the crackheads who come out of the house who are being arrested by SWAT, and they look up and they see me, Kangaroo Jack, arresting them.
Hey, the guy from barbershops.
You and I have so much in common. I can't believe it, because you should have seen the faces on the cops when they realized they were busting the crackhead from the Partridge Family.
It would be nice if
Anthony's your biggest fan, Danny.
Dude, I'm this funny every day. You guys just don't care.
Hey, Anthony, come see us when you come back to Los Angeles. And good luck with Kayville. And thank you for doing the Lord's work over there.
Later, man.
I didn't want to offend the man, but I've noticed differences I travel.
I was barely paying attention, to be honest, because it seemed like a real serious question, so I didn't care. But I cared enough to get Adam's sentiment, and if Anthony got offended, he was mistaken.
Well,
offensive
sometimes
statement.
You ask questions, and because you're asking a question or pointing out a difference, it becomes racist sort of by proxy, but I don't buy into that.
No, me either.
I just asked my construction question, and I'm not sure what the answer is. I'm sure if I took 7 million Mexicans and dropped them over New Orleans, a lot of the brothers would drop their hammer, and the Mexicans would pick it up.
Seems like the obvious
answer. That's number one, but it's not enough.
But there's some people that go out of their way not to be offended, which I think is cool, because there are so many groups that just hang on every word, waiting to be offended. You know who takes a good joke? Mm-hmm. The gay community. I use the word gay in all sorts of different ways all day long, and no one ever hassles me. I never get any mail. I go out with Word Up Build. I go out with Alex and Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
And
gay.
They totally, like, dig us and love us, and they know, you know, that I go, oh, that's totally gay, man. They never hassle me about it. They're not looking to be offended. They're very comfortable. It seems to me they're super comfortable with who they are, and they're not just waiting to pounce on you.
Well, let's keep the race issue going, because when we come back, I have a clip I want to play to you from CNN that, brothers, if you're listening, if you weren't already pissed off, you're really going to be mad when you hear what I have to say about this. So we'll hit race a little bit harder next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's a crank call from the Crank Yankers Vault with Wanda Sykes.
This is Bob. Can I help you?
Bob?
Yes.
I was in there the other day with my kids.
Okay.
And my kids were playing around in that ball pit.
Okay.
And there was an old man lying at the bottom of the ball pit.
He was doing what?
He was just lying there.
Lying there?
Yeah.
Where?
In the ball pit.
What do you mean the guy was in there?
I mean, there was an old man.
Inside it?
Yes. At the bottom.
Inside the ball pit?
He was balls deep in the ball pit.
When was this?
Yesterday.
What time?
Bob, I don't know. I was in there with my kids. We were there for a good little while.
Why didn't you come and tell me?
Because I didn't know if he was a worker or if that was part of what y'all think is fun, but I didn't think it was fun. And my kid, you know, he comes running to me. He's like, "Mama, there's a snake in the ball pit." And I was like, "What? What's he talking about, snake?" So I go and check. I was like, "What the hell are you doing in here with these kids?" And he said, "Oh, I was on my way to get a pack of cigarettes and got lost." That's what he said.
Well, you know, I can't believe you didn't come over and tell me.
You know, like when something happens and you're just shocked and you don't know what to say. And my boy kept asking me, like, "Mom, how come he got white hairy balls?" And I just grabbed my son, just got the hell out of there. Because
My goodness, I wish you would have told me something about something like that.
Well, you better mind your balls. You got some perverts in there, baby.
Never seen one before and never had a complaint of anything ever to sort of this.
Well, maybe some of the kids enjoy it. You know?
Oh, boy.
You know, I brought my boy in there to play with some plastic balls, not some old man balls.
Yeah, but listen to me. If it ever happens again, you just come to me right away. Please.
I will do that.
Thank you.
And I'll come to you, and you will clean those balls, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
There you go, brother. There's a little Wanda Sykes for you. Now, calm down. Teddy was getting a bunch of calls from irate brothers on construction sites.
Oh, really?
Threatening to come over here with flathead shovels. I told him to tell him I disagreed with Bonaducci and his racist comments as much as the next guy, but I can't stop him. He'll throw me over his head. I don't want that to happen. All right. Well, speaking of racist commentary, I was watching CNN this morning, as I'm apt to do, about 5 a.m., when the story about the woman who died while she was shackled in a holding room at the Phoenix airport came on. You guys know this story. Yeah. Paul Bryan?
Carol Ann Gutbaum's final moments alive. Police releasing the video of her Phoenix airport arrest before the New York woman was found dead in a holding cell.
Yeah, she got out of control. She was on her way to rehab, ironically. She spun out in the airport. She started screaming. By the way, folks, the airport, for the love of Christ, have we not learned our lesson about the airport? You know, freak out at the park.
Yeah.
Freak out in the minivan. Freak out on the highway. Freak out at home. But the airport?
Keep your ass together.
Yeah, do you know, since 9/11, they've confiscated like 2 million box cutters.
Yeah.
Folks that have thought it would be a great idea the year after everyone was carved up with a box cutter and the planes were flown into the towers to bring a box cutter to the new city they were arriving at. Please, folks, it's the airport. Stop with the, "I forgot I had a gun, a bong, a box cutter, or I'm going to have a meltdown." Please pick another place to do that. But she spun out at the airport. And she has herself attorneys and pathologists and the people that are doing it. It looks like they're just going to sue them into the back into the Stone Age, Phoenix, that is.
Yeah.
Now, when you watch the tape, well, the chick spun out
in
the airport terminal and she wouldn't regain her control of herself. And a couple of guys basically wrestled her to the ground, cuffed her, brought her in a holding cell. I think there's some syndrome where you can asphyxiate yourself via trying to escape. And now the problem is, in my mind, they did nothing wrong.
She was left alone for 6 or 8 minutes, and I think officers are allowed to leave somebody unattended for 15.
Well, the whole reason they chain you to the radiator so they can leave you alone.
Right.
I mean, that's what the shackles are for. Here's the deal. I can either sit here in this room and watch you spaz out, or I can just go ahead and chain you up to that railing over there, and I'm going to go out and get a donut.
On a bench at a normal police station, a standard issue from, I'm going the 20s, and it's, since things work, you don't fix them, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a bench, and it's wide enough for your butt, and it's 20 feet long, and every space of 36 inches is a thing like a handcuff.
Right.
And they take the one from your wrist and they hook it to that and you're not going anywhere and they line up the cons right down the thing and nobody does anything.
Well, she melted down. I guess she struggled and she somehow may have choked herself while she was trying to get out from being shackled in this holding room. But as I was watching, and Whitey, please be honest, white man, and tell me you've done this many times. I did that thing that all white people do at one time or another. When we see a story like this, I just sat there and I said, oh, thank God she wasn't black. Because if she was black, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson would have been arranging a march on the Phoenix airport. They would have flown down to Phoenix and then marched in a circle around the Cinnabon. Imagine this was a black woman. A black woman wrestled to the ground by white Phoenix police, a black woman that should have been attended to in a different way, but she was shackled, locked, shackled like a slave and left alone to rot, and she strangled herself. Imagine the cries that would be going out of racism.
Of course.
Now, here's my point, everybody. There is racism, but it's not all racism. White people get wrestled to the ground and shackled, too.
Yes,
in which case it's white. When Whitey freaks out at the airport, he gets tackled to the ground and wrestled into the holding, into the hole. When Blackie does it, he gets wrestled to the ground too, but then the racial component gets worked into it. I've been trying to say this to my brother for years, and I know you don't want to hear it, but you should. Society is not as racist as you think it is. There are far more a-holes than you would imagine,
right, absolutely. Yeah.
But they're far less racist. So here's what I figure. The average black man walks around and figures, well, we got 50% racist and 10% a-holes in this society. I'm telling you it's 10% racist and 80% a-holes.
That's fair enough.
Just close your eyes and imagine if this chick was black, or probably worse, a black male. Wrestled to the ground by the big, crew-cutted, red-nosed, Phoenix white, all-white cops. Wrestle the guy to the ground.
And let him
People
die.
Would say they didn't need to do it. They could have subdued him in another way, but they wrestled him to the ground violently. They shackled him and left him to die. That would be a crime, and it would be considered possibly a hate crime, but certainly in the eyes of all the great Jesse Jacksons and Al Sharptons of the world, that would have been a race-based crime.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up Phoenix, because in my stand-up comedy act, I show my mugshot next to Mel Gibson's.
Mm-hmm.
He looks pretty as can be. I have had my face stomped in by the police, and in my this case, appropriately so. Not because I put up a struggle, but it was the transvestite thing, and they thought that it was a woman. So they thought they were getting a guy that just beat up a woman. So I don't.
Yeah. Right.
So in their hearts, I'm not mad at them.
Right.
You know, I'd have done the same thing. So I'm not mad at them for the beating, but it's an ugly beating, and you should see the picture.
You're not mad at their hearts, but you're mad at their heels.
A little bit. There's a little extra stomping, and you should see my mugshot. I'm missing three front teeth. I got a bandage over a whole side of my face. I mean, right. I'm stomped, right? And Mel Gibson's
Johnny Fairplay's missing a few toothuses, too.
Yeah, well, I didn't jump on the cops.
A tooth for a tooth, Bonaducci says, yeah. Like the Bible.
But the thing is, race came into it.
Hmm?
Race, all white cops, if I remember correctly, and one pretty hot white cop, this girl, stomped my guts out because they thought I hit a woman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Race came into it because the transvestite was a Navajo.
Really?
And we were in Phoenix, and somebody actually asked me the question, did you know he was a Native American when you struck him? And I said, I don't give a rat's ass what nationality Chief Running Both Ways is. And I said, Chief Running Both Ways, I got picketed by the Navajo Nation.
Dances with Tootsie.
Can you believe race came into a white guy gets stomped by white cops and race still came into it and I got picketed by Navajos?
I just could imagine this guy's ancestors. So proud. Living off all parts of the buffalo. Living from the land, burying their elders up on the mountain in the sacred ceremonies, and now they see their transvestite great-great-grandson walking through a casino looking to score.
Chief Thunderbear cried.
And parents killed selves.
Great reenactment.
Not enough fire water in Texas to drown this pain.
I'm kind of wearing war paint.
Nowadays they call it makeup.
You wearing rouge, pussy, not blood of slain warrior. Jerome?
Yes.
What do you have to say about the cops and the white man?
Okay, this is the situation. White people don't get killed in police custody.
Sure they do.
beaten as severely as black people. When the last time a white man got a broomstick stuck up his butt and busted his intestines? When the last time a black white man was handcuffed to a steering wheel and beaten to death?
Oh, look, here's the reality.
I don't know what time. It's early.
There's certainly a lot of that going on.
Okay, and when do it happen to white people?
Well, Carol Ann Gottbaum is no longer with us.
Well, there's a 105-pound white Jewish, possibly a chick who's 44 years old that just got roughed up in an airport. So that's the one example I can think of. Look, obviously, I can't go. I'll guarantee there's plenty of white guys that have been killed by cops and plenty of white guys got their ass kicked by cops. I'm sitting 3 feet away from one of them. This is what I'm saying. Cops are a-holes. Cops beat the crap out of everyone. Cops hassle everyone. They especially hassle the poor. Hey, yeah. I'm not saying the brother man doesn't get it more. I'm sure he gets it more.
I don't hear about white people getting pulled over when they in the Lamborghini just to see, hey, what you doing with this car?
Yeah?
Oh, well, I beg to differ. When I had a Viper, the cops used to pull me over just to see it. It was brand new and they'd never seen one before.
At that time, wasn't you a known dope head?
Here's why.
Yes, I was.
What do you mean at that time?
Wait, no, at that time, no, I wasn't a known dope head. I was just a dope head.
Jerome, but listen, when's the last time you heard about? Well, here's how it works. You don't hear about it. The cops wrestle some white chick in a Phoenix airport. She dies while in custody, and it doesn't go down in anyone's head as anything. Oh, white guys on white guy or white crime or any of that. That's why you don't. Look, there's a white celebrity getting a DUI every single weekend in Los Angeles. Obviously, they're getting pulled over. Obviously, it's a white guy in a nice car getting pulled over by a cop. Otherwise, Kiefer Sutherland wouldn't have 19 DUIs.
Okay,
19. You think they show up at his house and pull him over?
How many he racked up? Just like Robert Downey Jr. Look how many times he's racked up. Now, if that was me being black, I don't think I'll get that many chances.
Here's all I'm trying to say to you, Jerome.
Okay.
I have been pulled over, and thank you for having a good black name because this really makes it easy for us.
Thank you.
Okay, Jerome. My last two tickets were being pulled over for no front license plate. Not an illegal lane change and no front license plate. Not speeding. I didn't get pulled over because I was doing anything except for I didn't have a front license plate, right, which in 30 states is legal. By the way, I got pulled over and I got written a chicken S ticket. And the last five tickets I've gotten when I've been pulled over have been chicken S tickets. Now, if I was black, I would have said, oh, OK, I see how it goes. You're hassling me because I'm black.
OK, Adam, with yes. that, when you get out, well, do they ask you to get out your vehicle? Do they ask you, can they search your vehicle?
It has happened before. If I shoot them attitude, they will tell you to get out of the car and they will screw with you.
How many times have you been taking out your vehicle and asked to search your vehicle?
It has happened. I don't know how many times, less than five.
Adam, if you want to talk to a white guy that's had all this happen to him a million times, talk to me.
Okay, Danny. But, you know.
But, Jerome.
We know about your past.
But Jerome, here's what I'm saying. Here's my only point that I'm trying to pass, and I would like to use you as my conduit to the black community. I want you to speak to them for me. And here's all I want to say. Yes, this happens more than it should to the black community.
I understand.
And I would never argue with you on that point, ever. Okay. But it is not 90%, it's 10%. And
I beg to differ.
I know you don't realize as I walk through life as a white guy, I get pulled over for chicken ass tickets. I get hassled at the airport. I have neighbors who call the cops on me when the music's too loud and call the building and safety department on me when the hedge gets too high. And if I was Jerome, I'd be saying, this guy's racist. This guy can't handle a black guy living next door to him. Well, here's what I'm saying. There are a lot more a-holes than there are racists, and I'm just telling the brothers that. That's all.
I understand where you're coming from, Adam. And one thing, when it comes down to walking in my shoes and being black, you never lived this life. So you can't really speak on what's the percentage of what happened with white people and happened with black people. I'm a black man. I've lived this life. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
We spent all this time talking to a black guy?
I didn't know Jerome was black. Hey, Jerome, I didn't say I'm going to live in your shoes. I said if you lived in my shoes. My very expensive Italian hand-tooled loafers that I had my assistant break in just last week. If you slid into those beautiful kid glove loafers that are fully lined with Chilean goose down, by the way, if you slid in those loafers, you would understand that I run into a-holes all the time who I say, why are you hassling me? Yeah. I don't see any reason why you're calling building and safety, old-ass neighbor guy, when you could have just put a note on my mailbox. You would realize that this guy's not racist. He's an a-hole.
Okay.
Sometimes there's crossover, and there are a-hole racists.
Yeah. All racists are a-holes.
Exactly.
But there are plenty of a-holes that aren't racist. They're just being a-holes to black people.
And how can you tell the difference?
You can't. And that's the problem. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Let me just say hi to Roger quickly. Roger?
Yes, Adam?
You're a black construction worker?
Yes, I am.
But you're calling from Las Vegas?
Yes, I am.
What are you working on?
I was working with a fencing company at the airport, but I got laid off today, so I'm going to be starting another company with electrical.
Bad times. Yeah. Hey, you want to get your name out there, by the way? We're pretty big in Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, this is me giving something back to the black community. Roger?
Yes?
You're a good electrician?
No, I'm a laborer, actually, in the local 872.
All right, so you're a union laborer?
Yes, I am.
All right, now, everyone is building something in Las Vegas.
True.
It never stops. Somebody's listening on a construction site now and needs a laborer.
Right.
How are we going to work this out? You going to give your phone number out?
You know, I don't want to put myself out there too much like that, but they can reach me at the local laborers union because I'm on the list. I'm at the hall, so if they just call down there, they can get my name.
Roger, you're the first initial of your last name, so they can ask for Roger...
Roger D.W.
All right.
D.W. are the first two letters of your last name?
No, that would be my middle initial and my last name initial.
All right. So, Roger.
I wanted to make a comment, though.
All right, but hold on. I want to get you a job first.
Okay. All right. Let's do that.
Roger. Roger D.W. Please, Whitey, it is time to stand up and get Roger a good gig on your construction crew or Blackie. If that's right. The way you roll. All right, Roger D.W. down at the local, what?
872
Construction Laborers Union. All right, Roger, quickly.
What's
okay, I had a comment. It's a little off from what you guys are talking about, but I wanted to say I didn't care too much for Danny at first, but after him flipping Danny,
Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah, that dude on his head, I respect him a whole bunch more. I mean, that was cold.
Well, thank you.
He's gained the respect and admiration of almost everyone around him because he threw Johnny Fairplay on his head.
You know, I cannot believe it. I went to all the trouble to constantly read, memorize facts, try and hang with guys as smart as you guys, be a quick wit, do all that stuff, be a cute little actor, and what do I get? Hey, you beat up that little white bitch, Johnny Fairplay. You're the man.
Well, here's how...
I could have skipped all that trouble.
Here's how, and by the way, this does not bode well for Johnny Fairplay.
No,
because
sure
if you did this to Princess Di, people wouldn't like you.
Yeah.
No, they'd be mad.
But you do it to someone we all loathe, and we laugh like hyenas. Demetrius?
Yes. Hey, Adam.
What's happening, Demetrius?
Well, I didn't agree with Jerome at all. I live in Las Vegas right now, and I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I got hassled by black cops more than white cops.
Mm.
And I've been pulled over 3 times by white cops for speeding, and they all were just polite as can be. Black cops, I've been thrown on the ground just for walking down the street. So,
Demetrius, you're a brother yourself. I'm guessing by your name and your story. Well, let me say this, Demetrius, as I've said many times before, and Jerome, I hope you're still listening. For every racist, there is, I was going to say 10, but it's not 10. It's probably 1,000 guilty white people that are trying very hard to make up for the one racist guy and what he did some time ago.
Right.
And we are bending over backwards going, no, no, no. Think about how you apologize to a black person versus a white person when you tell them no, Teresa.
Yeah.
Now, I've said it many times before. Again, maybe this is a form of racism. I don't know. If I'm walking down the street and a white bum comes up to me and he goes, can you spare any change? I'm like, get a job, dude. Come on, you're embarrassing. Black guy walks up, either I give him the change or if I can't, it's like, hey man, sorry, I'm on the way to the ATM if you want to wait, blah, blah, blah. Overcompensating. Yeah. Why? Don't want him to go racist guy, wouldn't give me change.
Yeah.
And people always are going racist and it's sad that the black community keeps thinking. If you keep thinking everyone is racist, then you're going to project that and that's when you get racism back towards you.
It's a decent point though, which is also a white cop must watch it. I mean, in this day and age, thank you, Demetrius, in this day and age, if you're with cameras on every squad car and the dashboard and all that, if you're a white cop and you're going to pull over a black motorist and you plan on hassling them, you better plan on handing your badge in, too, or answering to somebody, or you're taking a pretty big risk in today's day and age. Black cop walking up to Demetrius, well, he gets to just be a cop. And that's get out of the car and start kicking some Demetrius ass. Mm-hmm. A little black on black crime. All right. Good times. Now that I've solved that problem.
Yeah.
We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, it's Friday, the week in rage. Oh, I got topics. Let's see. We've nailed them down. What the hell did I do with those things? Ah, here we go. Oh, no, I don't have it. Give it to me, Bald Brian, if you have
it. Here I do, Ryan.
Here's the topics. Whales washing up on the shore. The terrible writing on TMZ. Sorry, T. But it does start with a T. My wife not making me sandwiches. Mm. Kids who don't respect adults anymore. And no seatbelts on school buses. We will hit those all. I will spin like a dreidel next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's time for This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
Where we count down the top five things that made Adam mad this week.
I'll crack your old ass like kindling and kick your ass right to the curb, you old farts.
Gentlemen, start your anger.
Bring it on.
Here's Adam.
Well, all right. Now, I know we have an intro, but hold off. The topics were going to be whales washing up on the beach, terrible writing on TMZ. Oh, go find that clip, Anna Nicole dancing, please.
Didn't write it.
My wife not making, like I said, whether you're one of the Nazi guards that marched the Jews into the ovens.
I didn't see
or
those
you,
trains go God. By. You I just, don't know why they were empty on the way back.
You just sat there. Enjoyed your Reuben sandwich and tried to avoid the smell coming from the ovens. Either way,
it should
you're
be
guilty.
It should be TNZ, the N for Nuremberg.
Do we have the clip?
It's time for Dancing with Our Stars. Contestant number two is bringing back the funky chicken. Meet Lost Star Bai Ling. That's clucking awesome. Our third contestant is competing from beyond the grave, but these moves will never die. Anna Nicole Smith at a bar mitzvah she just wandered into. Dancing the Hora. No, really, that's what it's called. That little guy, he became a man that day.
So she's, wait, let me get this straight, a dead whore?
Not only are you doing horrible writing, but you're doing it about a dead, a mother of a newborn who hasn't been in the ground
Adam,
9 months.
That is plucking offensive, and it's plucking embarrassing.
All right, I was going to get into motivational. What the hell else was I going to? Oh, no, I got the wrong list. Right. I was going to get into seatbelts on school buses. There's another school bus accident today with no seatbelts and kids that don't respect adults. I was going to launch into all those as the week in rage and as you voted on them on at AdamCarolla.com. But during, this is the beauty of me.
Yeah.
I called.
Is this the beauty of you?
I called an audible.
Yeah.
During the commercial because I got upset over the donuts.
I heard that.
That were here, and I started going on a rant about the donuts and then realized, oh, hell, that's what I'm really mad about anyway. So let's go on a rant about the donuts. So instead of five short ones, you're going to get one terminally intolerable rant on donuts. All right. Here goes. It is the same rant I give on pepperoni pizza and the same rant I give on trail mix, which I'll attempt to infuse like so many carob chips into this rant. donuts.
Yeah.
People like the old-fashioned or the plain cake or the buttermilk ones more than they like the puffy glazed ones. Yes, more. Not everyone, just more people. Unfortunately, if there are 12 donuts, 9 or 10 of them will be the crappy glazed air-filled ones that we don't much care for, the ones that aren't good for dunking into your coffee, and there'll be 2 or 3 of the old-fashioned ones that we do want. Now, here's the problem. All of them eventually get eaten. Why? Because there's donuts, and there's no such thing as a bad donut. If the guy who makes the donuts craps and it lands in a donut shape,
yeah,
and he puts enough multicolored jimmies on it, mm-hmm, and you put it in a donut box, after the cake and the old-fashioned and the buttermilk and the glazed and the cherry-filled ones are gone, eventually that one will be consumed. The guy will take a bite out of it. He'll say, this is the worst donut I've ever had in my life. He'll put it back in the box. He'll walk away. And 10 minutes later, he'll come back and say, guess it's still there. That's got to be a sign. And he will eat the Duke donut. So there's no such thing as a bad donut. Thus, they all get consumed. Now, here's how it works. We eat the old-fashioned slash cake ones first, then the glazed ones that you got 14 of, even though you only brought home a dozen, because that's what it feels like to my soul. The 9 that you brought home get or brought back to the office will get consumed. Thus, no lesson. The next time you go to get the donuts, you will get the same horrible ratio, just like the peon that gets the 10 pizzas for the office party and makes 5 of them pepperoni and 5 of them cheese, when, as it turns out, adults with 2 goddamn brain cells to rub together want mushroom, or we want sausage and pepper on our pizza. The problem is, all the pizza gets consumed. Thus, the next time the dullard goes out on the pizza or donut run, he does exactly the same thing. Somebody needs to step up. Well, that somebody is me, but there's not enough of me. And be prepared, because there will be slings and arrows heading your way when you complain about the free pizza or the free donuts, because when somebody goes through trouble and you raise your hand, well, then you get the stink eye from everybody in the office saying, thanks a lot. Next time, we're going to get 5 pepperoni, 5 cheese, and 1 with a snot rocket on it, because you wouldn't shut your effing cake hole. Do it in a respectful way, but explain, we like cake better than glaze. We like meatballs, sausage, and everything better than pepperoni. And don't get me started on trail mix, because trail mix is the next one that this happens to. Here's how it works with trail mix. Somebody goes out and gets a sack of peanuts. Someone goes out and gets a sack of smoked almonds. And then they get a sack of trail mix, because they're trying to make everyone happy. The smoked almonds go first. The peanuts go second, and eventually, because we're all just like pigs at work, we're rooting around eating crap we wouldn't dream of eating at home. I don't know what happens when you go to work. All of a sudden, we were trapped on an island somewhere with no sustenance. If I was at home and somebody put out a bowl of Fiesta mix, I would never reach my hand into it. But if I went to work and someone dropped a bowl of Fiesta mix, I would pick it up off the ground and eat it. Why? I'm at work. I'm desperate. We enable these people by consuming all this crap. Thus, they go out and get the trail mix next time. Trail mix sucks. Trail mix is actually better if you spread it apart. I would eat the white chocolate chips alone. I would eat the sunflower seeds alone. I would eat the walnuts alone. But together, somehow, they turn into some horrible crap stew that, by the way, has more calories in it than fudge, pound for pound. It has the word trail and mix in it, so you think it's good for you, it's bad for you, and it tastes like crap. Look, if you're the guy who's in charge of the trail mix, if you're the guy who's in charge of the pepperoni, if you're the guy who's in charge of the glazed donuts, please do us all a favor. Climb up to the top of your office building and toss your worthless corpse off it. Thank you. Okay.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah. I learned a lot. First of all, people would eat Duke donuts.
People bring anything you bring into the office will eat it.
But what I mainly learned is there's not enough of you.
Right.
And for somebody who loves pie, Adam, you described a mouth as a cake hole, not a pie hole.
That's right.
What gives?
Well,
I don't want to slander a good name of pie.
I've got a question.
Fake face?
Are you? Are you automatically required to refer to your mouth as the blank hole of whatever you enjoy putting in it the most?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I need to move on.
Where is this going?
Give me a break.
Well, we can go with either you or me, because I know what I like best.
Let's go with you. What's coming out of your...
That's not coming out.
Words are coming out of your what right now?
My pie hole.
There you go.
Your pie hole.
I have had an impacted ass full of these cake-faced naysayers with their cake in the sky. Dreams of a better world. All right. That's
also, trail
enough.
Mix should be separated.
Yes.
I really just learned this.
Instead of the one big sack that tastes like crap, you could have seven small bowls that everyone enjoyed.
From race relations to the separation of trail mix items, this has really been a show.
Well, you know what? I thought those two went hand in hand. Separating the mix almost essentially by color. I mean, he didn't just say raisins, he said the white chocolate.
White chocolate's got separate. No business going to the same school the raisins are going to.
They're separate but equal. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Is this why it says I have to walk in front of you in my contract?
All right, play your outro.
Until next time.
Hold on a second.
This week.
Oh, what an ass.
In rage.
Well, a little audible at the line, a little last minute this week in rage. Now, again, if we finish all those donuts, and you know we will enable the guy who brought them to bring more glazed next time.
So what we should do is leave them.
No. Wait a minute. Yes, we should. Unfortunately, people who have less resolve than we do, weaker people like Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, and John and Jeff.
Drunk. I'm drunk.
They don't have the intestinal fortitude the Ace Man has.
So, may I make a suggestion?
Well, we can destroy them, but then someone's going to think they were eaten.
Right.
I would suggest you show your intestinal fortitude by actually eating the filthy, disgusting donuts that you don't like. So those of us or them that are weak of mind and tummy will have paid the penalty and still have had their delicious in their mind donuts devoured and eaten.
Better.
You got some batter?
Well, we're in a little catch-22 here. If we don't eat the donuts, the weak will come in and consume them, thus sending the message to buy more.
Yeah.
If I destroy the donuts, it will give the illusion that the donuts were consumed, thus giving the message to buy more. We must desecrate the donuts.
Ray.
How?
We must defile them.
Ray.
And not in the worst
raise
way,
your answer.
Please.
Not
you can violate a donut like no man alive.
Oh, no.
Remember when I was trying to diet what my wife did for me with the lemon meringue pie?
Yeah.
I say just a little further down the line. That's all.
Ray's penis has a 6-donut rating, by the way.
What kind? He's not going to do like 4 buttermilk. If he can do like 6 glaze, that's quite a man.
It'll be great when the guy bites into the filled one and he goes, well, it wasn't when it got here.
Why does it taste like bleach?
That is not custard.
All right, that's it. I must go defile the donuts.
Okay.
Well, we'll do it in some sort of, you know, we'll give them a Viking burial or something like that. We'll set them ablaze and put them out in the bay. No, they need to be seen.
Yeah.
I'll have my assistant destroy them. I don't want to get my hands sticky. Okay, we'll do that during the break. When we come back, how about some NFL picks?
Yeah, I'm ready with mine.
I think we're all have a win, and we all have 2 losses, best I can tell. It's getting pretty close. Again, the money goes to charity. We'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Professional football in America is a special game. The men who play it make it so.
It's time for the Adam Carolla Show's NFL Picks. With gridiron experts Danny Bonaducci, Teresa Strasser, and Adam's dog, Molly.
Football is a rough game and often a cruel one.
NFL Picks.
Every time you lose, you die a little bit.
Now, Adam Carolla.
Oh, I just want to listen to this music. Just turn it up.
What is this?
From the NFL's NFL film library, the guy in NFL films would have a guy in Germany score all of his footage from the 60s and 70s, and this is what came out of it. So it's just scored for the NFL film vaults, and you just hear it, and you just think snow and football and breath coming out of guys' mouths, and it's awesome. I looked up at the screen, and now I know society's officially crumbled, because I looked up on the screen on CNN, and it says, Boy Scout badges being recalled, too much lead content. And I just thought, well, that's the end. We're recalling Boy Scout badges, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Stop the world. I'm getting off. That's it. I've had enough. I'm off this ride. Now, some news just breaking. T,
yeah,
is this true?
Well, I just got a call from Jillian over at TMZ. She basically runs that place. She's right under Harvey Levin.
Mm-hmm.
And
No woman would ever be under Harvey Levin, would she?
Metaphorically, she's under him. She called me, and I hope I'm getting this right because we were just getting back on the air. So I can't, Jillian, call me if I'm not getting this right. But what I think she said is that the DA has decided not to charge Danny Bonaducci in his battery case against Johnny Fairplay.
Mm.
I think that is what she said. I hope I'm getting it correct. Do you have a comment?
I would assume, yes, I do have a comment if you care, because it really did occur
Hold
to
on.
Me.
We have fried Danny out of his shell. Go ahead.
And Jillian, if I mess that up, call me and or call into the show 1-866-901 Adam. Teddy will put you through.
When this guy first leapt on me and I threw him over my shoulder and I waved goodnight and I went and I gave the valet guy my ticket and went home and thought nothing of it.
We're talking
here
Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Right.
Came here the next day and I'm
Fox
the front
Awards.
Page of everything.
Right.
That Johnny Fairplay got his teeth knocked out. I was really, really offended because when I watched the tape, he does something rather disgusting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me at that time that if he had done what he referred to, and I didn't know this, his monkey hump, where he straddles you, rubs his genitals against your stomach rather forcefully while holding your neck. If he had done that to a woman, he'd be in jail already.
How dare
you? I'll do you one better. If he'd done this in many other cultures, he would have been shot.
Yes, exactly.
And now this,
you're in Saudi Arabia, and a guy gives you the monkey hump, you must be killed, or he'll kill you.
My thought was, I'm so mad and offended that he's going to cause me trouble over this with the police and the DA and all of this, that I'm not going to wait around for my felony batteries or whatever it is. I'm going to have him arrested today on sexual assault charges. Mm-hmm. And I don't see how they could deny me.
Mm-hmm.
If they admit he would arrest him for a woman, it would be sexual discrimination to not arrest him for doing that to me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, the courts are so screwed up and full. I'm not going to do that. I'm not hurt.
Yeah.
A little embarrassed. I'm not going to do it. I'm not even going to sue him. I'm not going to do anything to him. I am very happy if your information is correct. I talked to a detective yesterday, and he told me he would recommend in the strongest possible terms that this case be dropped, that he sees absolutely no crime being committed here. If there is a crime being committed, it's being committed against Mr. Bonaducci.
Let me chime in here quickly. This has now been confirmed. The L.A. County District Attorney's Office has rejected the case against Danny Bonaducci. The DA wrote in his rejection form, quote, insufficient evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt.
Hmm.
Danny's free.
I know that it's the DA, and maybe this is a little pun, but no duh.
Thank you.
I mean, there's just no case here. What would be really interesting,
but
Danny,
now, can I go on all the talk shows? Do you know how many national talk shows that I don't get to wear a free FM t-shirt on? I canceled the Today Show. I canceled Good Morning America yesterday.
What? Why did you cancel that?
Because I was going to get sued or maybe go to jail. I didn't know.
Oh, now you can talk.
Right, now you can talk about now it. By the way,
theoretically, he's probably still going to sue me, but if the DA resists the case.
Wait a minute, Danny. I want to do a little role-playing here.
Okay, hop on, bitch.
Here's what it is. You are not monkey hump role-playing. Let's just say you decided to counter-sue Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah.
And you decided to say in your suit that after being sexually humiliated on national TV in front of a group of people,
which I was,
you now have difficulty being intimate, dear lady. You have difficulty doing my favorite hobby, being intimate with myself.
I will admit,
let's just do a little role playing. I'll be your attorney.
Okay, because first of all, as my attorney, you need to know this. in my bragging days on the Adam Carolla Show, I have had my 25-year-old girlfriend come on the radio just to admit to Adam and make me feel virile that we have done it 7 times in a day.
That was before.
On more than one occasion.
Before.
I have not had a single erection since that night.
Mm. Wow.
And it's just the thought of getting aroused, and then that picture pops into my mind, makes me feel, question my manhood, really.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get excited in any way after having something rubbed against your stomach like that.
And, Your Honor, I would suggest that Danny Bonaducci's manhood is wrapped up in his livelihood. Yes, it's right. Manhood meets another hood. That's livelihood. Mm-hmm. If he has no confidence, well, how's he going to perform not only in bed, but on stage, right, Mr. Bonaducci? Yeah.
My stage act has been compared to that of a caged animal. I pace back and forth. Yeah. I lift weights. I have heavy weights backstage, and I lift them right till the second they introduce me. So my arms will be all pumped up because I'm very aggressive in my comedy. I go out and I tell hardcore stories, and I just don't feel like a man anymore.
Two
you know?
Things. First off, would you like some Kleenex, Mr. Bonaducci?
No, I'm semi.
Secondly, note to self, don't go to Morongo Casino this weekend.
Not backstage.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You're back. Can you continue?
In certain areas.
Okay, because this could be difficult. When you were becoming intimate with your 25-year-old school teacher girlfriend, Amy, were you able to achieve an erection?
What happened, I don't mean to be graphic, Gail, because that's my lawyer's name, Gail Cohen. I don't mean to be graphic, Ms. Cohen, but I started to. I didn't think about it. We were kissing and hugging until I started to. And then...
What popped in your mind?
Exactly. And I felt that if I could still maintain Mr. Happy, if you would, while thinking about being groped by that man, it implied some sort of titillation on his part, that he was in some way arousing me. I was not only confused, I was not only a failure in bed, but I was physically sick twice.
Mm-hmm. Would you say you're able to work?
I would say that I am able to arrive at
physically,
my job,
right. But emotionally, you're a shell of your former self.
Oh, absolutely. When I applied for this job and I said, what kind of, they said, this is a man station. I said, well, there's only two real men subjects in the whole wide world, and one is sex and one is money. And now the idea of sex is so repulsive to me.
I will also say this, Your Honor, before the incident involving Johnny Fairplay, I'd never seen a cigarette in the hand of Danny Bonaducci. He's now up to 3 packs a day.
Obviously, you're going to go for punitive damages here because he may have future lost wages.
Mm.
He is emotionally distraught and can't do his job to the best of his ability.
Mm. Either job.
And the only thing he's going to use that Kleenex for is mopping up tears.
That's right.
By the way, as his lawyer, I think you should explore this. Let's just say he's watching TV and the caveman show comes on, or he's at the zoo, or he in any way interacts with a monkey.
Oh, my God.
This is more than I can bear. All right.
Jane Goodall is now Jane Battle. All I can say.
We need to take ourselves a break.
That
why?
Bitch ruined my life.
I know we have to take a break.
Ben Stiller.
Yes. No, that's good.
I know, but Ben Stiller's calling up in 6 minutes, and we'll miss him if we don't.
We can't miss him.
All right. T?
I just wanted, you know, Danny had told me yesterday, before we could talk about it, that he was very nervous about this.
No,
so
joking around.
How
I was
relieved
very,
are you?
Very concerned because...
Oh, Jesus. You know, I thought you had something good.
You can say anything you want about anyone, and the police really do have to do their job and their due diligence. And I spent a great deal of time on the phone with a detective who had gotten his side of the story, watched the tape over and over, and was not playing. I did not know for sure till this moment that I was not... I asked this question. I put it this way. You won't come to my place of employment and just arrest me. You will call me and give me the opportunity to turn myself in, won't you? And he said, yes, absolutely. I'm dead serious.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, I was not playing.
Well, a huge sigh of relief. We'll take a break.
Can I go back to Home Depot now?
Ben Stipo. Ben Stipo. Home Depot meets Ben Stiller.
Home Depot broke up with Danny.
All right, T.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller is going to be on the show in 6 minutes.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. In theaters today, The Heartbreak Kid, starring Ben Stiller.
From the second I fell for Miranda, I have not once cheated on her with my wife.
Ben Stiller.
You got a pretty good voice there.
Is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ben Stiller.
Hello.
Great to speak to you.
Adam, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, you should be.
I'm doing okay.
Well, I think you should be doing more than okay. I've seen your wife, and I've seen the movies you've made. So, look, here's the deal, Ben Stiller. If you're not happy, then none of us are.
All right. I'm doing incredibly better than well.
Good. But don't get cocky. I don't... what's that?
Stay away from my wife.
You cannot stop what my eyeballs tell my hand to do.
Ew.
She's an attractive woman, and that's the ultimate compliment. It really is.
Don't feel bad, Ben. He's done it to pictures of me. And sometimes you can't stop the man.
I was looking at Lori, but the lunch pail moved. Hey, Ben. The Heartbreak Kid is coming out today.
That's right.
Now, not only does this movie look great, and not only does it have the Farley brothers, or the Farrelly brothers, I always screw it up, and we talked to, I think, Peter earlier in the week, and everything looks great, but here's the competition. In the comedy department this weekend, you have The Game Plan, starring a pro wrestler, and you have Good Luck Chuck. Now, if you can't kick their...
I'm not going to touch that. Look. The Game Plan... First of all, The Game Plan is a family film, right?
True. Yeah.
You're not going to... The kids, you're not really bringing the little ones to Heartbreak Kid.
Right.
And the other one, you know, I'm sure it's very funny, and I haven't seen it.
Sure, you know.
Okay?
You know, yeah, comedians are that way. That's what we do. We don't see other comedians' movies, and we go, I'm sure it's really good. When we get together and talk, that's how we do it.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben.
Exactly.
Who do you hang out with? Who are your friends in the business that you hang out with?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really, you know, I've got a couple little kids, and I don't go out that often, for mm-hmm. sure. You know? But I'd say, I don't know. I mean, all my friends who I used to hang out with who are still single, I don't hang out with anymore much since I had the kids.
Well, I don't want to thrust myself on you and your beautiful wife,
yes,
Christine Taylor.
Thrust yourself on my beautiful wife.
But I can say this. You know, I used to go out, too, and then I had a couple of kids. Perhaps we should all get together over some wine and whine about having kids and not being able to go out, ironically, while we're out.
Well, you'd have to do it on every other Saturday when I have my kids.
True.
Danny?
Yeah.
How are you, man?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
It's nice to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to speak to you, as always.
Yeah. Are things going okay?
Yes. As a matter of fact, if you're being specific, I just got the news from TMZ. The DA has dropped all the charges.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
You know what I feel like? I feel like we're heading toward the time. Right now, we're at a time in space in history where TMZ finds out that the DA has dropped the charges and then reports it to us. A few years from now, I think Harvey Levin is going to call the DA and tell him
how it goes down.
How it goes down, and then they can report it to us.
It is a little creepy.
It is.
Not if you're the one the DA is dropping the charges against. I don't care how I get that news.
I'm telling Danny. Ben Stiller, did you get a chance to see the footage of Danny tossing that guy over his head?
No, I just read about it.
They printed it, too.
Did you toss the guy?
Dude.
Gently.
Very gently.
His teeth must have been... Go ahead.
But Danny, can I change the subject?
Yes.
Well, do you remember when I visited the set of the Partridge Family with my mother and my sister?
I do indeed.
You flirted with my sister in a nice way.
Thank you.
You took there was a microphone stand, and there was this crazy like foam cover for the microphone stand, and you put it on your head, and you made her laugh, and she never forgot it.
Aww.
You see, I'm carrot top when I get going.
Wait a second. You and your sister, and by the way, I like her too, Ben.
Shut up.
Oh, no.
Hey, I'm sorry.
His mom's kind of hot also.
She's an attractive woman. Your father, Jerry Stiller and Mira, obviously in showbiz. So as a kid who's not in showbiz, but your parents are in showbiz, you can go, hey, I'm watching the Partridge Family. I'd like to go check it out. And your parents arranged it, right?
Well, they didn't arrange it. No, it wasn't like that. They were just working on the lot or wherever you guys were shooting the thing. I don't know what they were doing. They might have been doing like a guest shot on, you know, Corch Vivetti's father. I don't know what it was.
Right, Right.
And they were shooting there, and so we were actually on the set of that and the Brady Bunch too at one point. So it was very exciting for us because we were the core demographic audience for those shows. So to meet, you know, Danny Bonaducci or to, you know, in real life was very exciting. And I, to this day, I think it's one of the reasons I got into show business.
Hey, hey, Ben. Hey, well, thank you, Danny.
That was the coolest thing that may have ever been said to me. Yeah. Thank you.
You know, you know what would be really cool, Ben? If we could have frozen both of you at that point and then just thawed you out as the age you are right now. I bet you'd both be confused. You'd pass your name and see it up on a billboard and want to know why you're up there, Ben Stiller. You'd pass a post office and see your name up there, Bonaducci. You'd be like, what happened?
What the hell went wrong here?
How did we get into our 40s? What happened?
And then, Ben, you'd probably be like, Partridge Family must be in its 55th season by now. Well, Ben Stiller, we know you have to go because you got to plug away. I'll give you a quick plug. The Heartbreak Kid.
Looks hysterical, by the way. The juicy of the one when she's in the car and the one with the sting on your back.
It's, look, here's
that's how funny it is. I snorted.
Did you just snort?
Here's the thing. Even if it's not a great movie, even if it's just a good movie, tough ass. There's nothing else in theaters. I'm sorry, Ben. I'm getting tough with my audience.
You should think about that as your tagline.
Okay, I definitely want to use that quote in the next
Ben, come see us in person when you can, and good luck this weekend. Not that you need it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Nice talking to you again.
Ben Stiller. I don't know a lot about him other than he oozes sanity.
Yeah.
You know how people ooze insanity? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people that are just like, God damn, that guy's nuts.
I've heard of him.
He has that, I am the sanest person on the planet. Doesn't he sort of?
Yes, except I saw Permanent Midnight. Did you see that?
Oh, yes.
He oozed insanity in that.
Yeah, but that's just good acting.
Right.
Yeah.
God, I remember back in the 80s when everybody was oozing all the time and you could just clear right up. Times have changed.
We need to take ourselves a break. Tea.
Yes.
Ooze the news.
Well, I don't know what was oozing through Marion Jones' veins, but it looks like it may have been a performance-enhancing drug.
She was on the clear.
That's right.
Geez, we forgot all about our NFL picks because we're breaking news and Ben Stiller. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do the news and then we'll see if we can get to those picks a little bit later. News next with Teresa Strassi.
Can't get enough of Adam, Danny, and Teresa? Well, you're in luck. Here's Bald Brian's bonus B-sides on the Adam Carolla Show.
We are gay and we'll forever be gay.
I bedazzle because I dig it.
I'm going to get a leather vest and wax my body up and scream from a bullhorn how great I am.
God, it's good to be white.
You're going to get to say hi to Adam Sack after the show.
I can do a Rubik's Cube with my butt cheeks.
I'm S-ing on myself as we speak.
I don't know that I'm necessarily an addict. Hey, maybe I need to slow down.
This is incoherent. This is gibberish. This is not funny. You all make me want to puke. All of you. The best of Bald Brian's B-sides, which are the ones he doesn't play at the end of the show. All right, T.
Yes.
You ready to rock?
Sure.
Let's do the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Well, I'll start with this news since it's breaking and it's the closest to home. Danny Bonaducci is free. The district attorney rejected Johnny Fairplay's case against you, Danny.
Thank you.
And it's kind of fascinating. The actual DA's rejection form is posted on TMZ. And you can find it there if you'd like. But the DA is saying that there is insufficient evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt.
Now, Teresa, as someone with low self-esteem.
Yes.
Rejection is rejection, even if it's from the DA. Is that true?
Yeah.
And you would still, it would still.
It hurts.
It would
a
ruin
little.
Your day. Yeah.
Like, I mean, was it something I said or
insufficient?
Was it someone I threw?
Did? Was
evidence?
It high?
Yeah. You would just hear him calling you fat. When he said it was insufficient evidence.
Can I just say real quickly, because I have been on the other side of the DA and had them prosecute me and been found guilty. And by the way, I was guilty. They never did anything wrong to me. Mm-hmm. They inconvenienced me, but I committed crimes and I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
That was in public. And I bet it would have been easier for them to go ahead and say, let's meet in court so that they didn't just have to, you know, easily dismiss it. But there's so many camera angles. I'd really like to thank the DA for not making me and the other guy and everybody else waste the taxpayers' money by a crime that was obviously not committed because there's 20 camera angles. When it could have been easily, they wanted to prove that they were in the right. We right. went through all the process. I'd really like to congratulate the DA who has, like I said, convicted me before to just see what was on the tape and come to a reasonable conclusion and just print it. And thank you very much for showing really normal and fine judgment.
His name is Steve Cooley, according to this form.
Thank you, Mr. Cooley. A job well done, sir. And I don't mean that just because I don't have a crime against me. I don't deserve one. So you did a job well done. And thank you for not wasting a bunch of people's time with videotape proving nothing happened.
I concur. Thank you for not showboating. And now you can get back to the very important business of busting people that grow medical marijuana. And not deporting anyone who comes to this country
legally.
Are you going to
screw with my DA until he's mad?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to back up my DA on this one.
Well, yeah. Danny...
I'll get back to busting consensual people involved in consensual crimes.
Going to have to kill you.
Danny's free.
Thank you.
But not so much Marion Jones. The track and field star, after repeated denials, is now admitting for the first time that she did use performance-enhancing drugs. This is being reported by the Washington Post website. The newspaper says that Jones is expected to plead guilty today around 4 p.m. Eastern time. They're also reporting that she mailed friends and family a letter containing this news so that they would get a heads up. And she told them that she could spend up to 6 months in prison, which is true. She's expected to plead guilty to two charges of lying, plus involvement in a money laundering and check fraud scheme involving, you remember the sprinter Tim Montgomery, with whom she had a child, plus coach Steve Riddick, both convicted in that case. Now, according to the Post, in this letter that she supposedly sent to her friends and family, she admitted to being given the clear, which, of course, is a designer steroid, undetectable by testing at the time. She said her then coach, Trevor Graham, was giving her the clear, but telling her it was flaxseed oil.
Trevor Graham, second widest name only to Graham Wellington.
Yes, Trevor hello. Graham. My name is Graham Wellington.
Matter of fact, if you just said I'd like a gram of white, people would know what you want.
Yes, the clear is the same thing Barry Bonds was accused of being on.
Is that HGH? Is that what they mean?
I guess.
It's still barely detected. It's still very, very hard to detect.
You know what I miss about life versus life in movies?
What?
If this was a movie, Marion Jones would use her amazing speed to elude the cops.
Yeah.
You see, in a movie, when you can do something, you use it.
Right.
Right.
When a world-class sprinter shows up at the courthouse and then the cops start coming at him, we have that sequence where they're running down the street, and if they're a hurdler, they'll be hurdling parcels.
Right.
And guys tying their shoes. All that good stuff always gets used up. And if it's a football player, at some point, when the bad guy's running away, he picks up a half gallon of milk and throws a perfect spiral into the back of the guy's head. Never happens in real life. You know, the guys get busted for, you know, Mike Tyson, the baddest man in the ring, gets arrested every second Tuesday, and he never does any boxing in court.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing life, wouldn't you agree?
I just watched The Bionic Woman last night, and she said, nobody ever accused this woman of, you know, using performance-enhancing bionics. She runs 80.
Yeah.
And everybody just sort of goes, oh, that's okay. You see this chick running down the freeway passing cars and nobody says a thing. This girl runs 0.2 miles an hour faster than the next guy and she's going to jail. Something seems wrong.
I would make the bionic argument as well, too, if I was defending her.
Well, Marion Jones could also be stripped of her medals as well as facing jail time.
Yeah, the real problem or tragedy or whatever about these things is their reputation. This is someone who is beloved. This is someone who was doing Wheaties boxes. And this is someone who won't be able to get an endorsement for a local tire hut once this all clears up.
Do you think she felt better when she finally sent the letter that she allegedly sent to her friends and family saying, look, this is what happened. I took the clear. It's going to come out. I might do some jail time, and that's it.
I know it's my job to speculate on this show, but how the F would I know?
Good point.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Come
Save
on.
The anger for, what was it? Rage Fridays.
Yeah.
Just trying to do the news, trying to stir up a little conversation. Let's move on.
Just stick to the news. If I wanted the weather, I'd however that went.
I'd go outside.
Is that when people spit on you when you're a kid?
Say it, don't spread.
Say it, don't spread.
That's good. But there used to be one tour. I wanted the news. If I wanted the weather, I'd go outside. Yeah, I think that was that one.
Well, the news, not the weather.
That's right. That's right. A little known fact, invented by the same guy who came up with whoever smelt it, dealt it. Little known fact.
Really?
Little known fact. Yeah. Or I may have cut the cheese, but you licked the knife.
Wow, that's a good. I never heard that one.
I, for a long time, used to counter whoever smelt it, dealt it with
right.
He who denies it supplies it.
Right, I like that one.
But it really didn't take.
Well, this is all far more interesting than whether or not you'd feel better.
Weather, if
told
I wanted the weather.
Truth.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I heard a good retort the other day from my girlfriend Amy, who's a school teacher. And the two of them, actually, one said, oh, so what do you make? And she said, a difference in children's lives. What do you make? Which I thought was really good, but she practiced, I could tell.
Yeah.
The other one was, those who can, do. Those who can't, teach. And she said, those who can do were taught. So eat
ooh,
me.
Ooh.
I like that. That when she had the so eat me.
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
You wait, are those who can do. Brilliant light
teach.
From heaven.
Teach.
What you're saying is those who can do, and those who can't teach, but who taught the ones who can do?
Ah, got
you
it.
See, so next time, if you're a teacher and someone's trying to put you in your place, you say, who taught the doers?
Right.
Right.
Wow, I don't love her crush on you, but because I really like her, she is so happy right now that you just went, hey, that was a good one for me.
That was
She's
a good one.
She's dancing all over the house now, touching herself with Adam Carolla mask on, which makes me nervous.
All right, T, sorry, baby.
Back in 2004, 42-year-old Tammy Jean Warner of Lake Jackson, Texas, was trying to help her husband, 58-year-old Michael Warner, get drunk.
Mm.
Michael was a raging alcoholic, but because of a throat problem, he could not drink in the traditional way. So Tammy helped him by giving him an enema with Sherry.
Sherry enema. I worked with her in the 80s.
Definitely not a Jew.
My stage name was Jaeger enema.
Well, she flushed him out with two large bottles of Sherry.
Oh.
And that raised his blood alcohol level to 0.47 or almost six times the legal limit.
My grandfather went the same way, by the way.
0.4 is usually dead, in case you were wondering.
Interesting, because this guy died.
Oh, there you go.
In February of 2005, Tammy, his wife, was indicted for criminally negligent homicide.
You know I'm trying this when I get home. Mm. Oh, I can't because of the alcohol thing.
Mm.
She was the pill. She was also indicted for burning Michael's will 1 month before the Sherry enema incident. Now, if there's no will, the spouse gets everything. This made investigators very suspicious. But after all these years, all charges against Tammy have now been dropped because of a lack of evidence for either crime. She was looking at up to 4 years in prison for the Sherry enema.
I say this is the greatest wife ever. I can't get my wife to make me a sandwich. You kidding?
I'm with you. That's why Journey did that song about her.
If I said to my wife, hey, how about a Sherry enema because I got a sore throat, tell me to go F myself with the funnel. This is a good woman.
This is a fine woman.
This is a saint.
And by the way,
an enema fairy.
A completely reasonable way to get high. My brother and I went to his wife's funeral because she died of cancer and it was very sad. And we thought that lighten the moment.
You can tell by the laughter.
Well, we thought it would lighten the moment because she'd been going for a long time. We wanted her to go. And then we're going through her stuff and we found her morphine suppositories because she couldn't keep anything down.
Ooh.
So we went in the bathroom one at a time and went pop and then went to her funeral. What I remember of it was a really good time.
You popped a morphine suppository.
We all grieve in our own way,
T. Don't judge.
Elizabeth Kubler-Ross said that was the eighth stage of grief.
I say this woman is an enema angel.
Yes.
She's no criminal.
God bless her
Now,
heart.
By the way, when you do the Sherry enema, do you use a funnel and a hose or just the funnel?
You know, that's a very good question.
2 liters. I got to say, use the hot water bottle.
To
quote
you, how the F should I know? Was I there?
Yeah, I don't know, but I'll have it MacGyvered by tomorrow.
Let's talk about Isaac Hanson.
Yes.
You love the Hansons.
Love the Oombappers.
I love Oombapp.
Yeah, bite me.
Well.
Bite me and Danny. We love Oombapp.
I think everybody does.
That is if you have all your teeth.
Have you heard about Isaac Hansen's trouble?
No.
Oh, yeah. He underwent life-saving surgery yesterday.
Which one is Isaac? The oldest?
Really handsome one.
I believe he's the eldest of the Hansen brothers.
The eldest of the Hansens.
He was hospitalized Tuesday night after suffering severe shoulder and chest pains. And as it happens, he had a form of pulmonary embolism called Paget-Schroeder syndrome, in which arteries from the heart are constricted, causing potentially fatal blood clots in the lungs.
So he could have died.
Yeah.
So if he was camping, he'd be dead.
Yeah.
I had Ricky Schroeder syndrome, and I just stayed perpetually cute.
Wow.
They changed it to Rick Schroeder syndrome.
The music could have died that day.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
No.
And he lives on to do this song. Let's go. Break it down now, T. Anyone who says they don't dig this song is lying.
You're just afraid you're gay. You're not gay. You like a good song.
Right. Be secure enough with your masculinity to dig this song. Turn it up, old bud.
If you're in a convertible right now and your roof isn't down, you suck.
Song so much that if the lead Hansen died, I would go to the Hansen family and I'd say, I know you're grieving, but Mom, I know you're postmenopausal, but you need to crap out another Hansen because this song needs to go on.
Forever. It's that good.
And when the kid came out in 9 months, I'd throw him a bass guitar and go, get busy, son, because we're going on tour in about 3 months.
As soon as I cut the umbilical cord, right, you're on the road.
Well, everyone's pleased with the outcome of Isaac's surgery, so I don't think you have to worry. And they say that Isaac, Taylor, and Zach are all looking forward to getting back out on the road and doing what they love best.
Which is this. All right, everyone now.
People get really mad when I sing.
All right, just the straights now.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, these guys were like seven when they did this.
So
and the
good.
Show has reached a new low.
I would have this song in a perpetual loop, and I would have a little recorder on me, and every time I got into an argument with someone, I would just crank this up and go, yeah, bitch, did you do this when you were nine?
Oh, I just feel so good, I wouldn't care about the fight anymore.
Let me review. Let me see what you did when you were nine, bitch. You made an Easter bunny over tracing your hand on a piece of construction paper and stuck a piece of cotton that your teacher had to help you with for a tail. That was awesome. I did this. Let's see what else you did when you were nine. Oh, you took a Campbell's soup can and you stuck elbow macaroni to it and tied a piece of yarn on it. And then the same school teacher painted it silver so your daddy could put his pipe in it. Well, I did this.
Not that I would ever put myself in the same category with the great Hansen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not a good argument to have with me.
Right.
That's right. You're on national TV.
And also, you said earlier that if you order a Reuben sandwich, people always bug you with the Reuben thing.
For 30 years now. If I want to eat a Reuben, there's a running joke now.
Do you think at the hospital the doctor said, I'm just glad your heart didn't stop?
Sometimes they're just too good to laugh and you just need a round of applause.
Stop. Halloween's coming up. And I don't know about you guys.
I'm going as the dead Hansen.
He's alive.
That doesn't work.
I just thought of a great costume for us at the Playboy Mansion.
What?
Hansen. Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
Timely.
I say we go as Heidi, Frosty, and Frank.
Wait
Start
a second.
Eating.
Who's who?
Oh.
As long as we don't make anyone laugh.
Come on.
I am a big fan of that.
I'm actually very tight with those guys.
They're going to be in here
all the time.
They're going to be in here in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
No, I go out, and that's why I feel safe to say. I leave here and go in their show like 3 days a week.
All right, T. Halloween. Yeah,
Halloween's coming up.
Mm.
And you may be thinking, what am I going to be? Because you have to put some thought into it, unless you're like Adam, you just tell your wife to run out and buy something to take
May I just say that my wife said on the Dr. Phil show, he said, what are you going to do the day of your divorce? And she said, I'll be in Europe celebrating. Our divorce is final on Halloween. Wow. So this will be the first Halloween ever with just me and my kids while Gretchen is in Paris with some really hot, tall, blonde babe I know that she hangs out with who has a ton of money and is kind of loose with her scruples.
Wait.
Well, fans, she's worth celebrating on Dr. Phil. She corrected herself, but she goes, how are you going to, what happens when your divorce is the day your divorce is filed? She goes, I'll be celebrating in Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, celebrating might not have been the right word.
Yeah.
So. I was crying at the time.
Good times.
Well, Fandango, the movie website, asked people what costume they were most likely to wear this year. Movie-related costumes, movie themed.
Yeah. By the way, if you replace the N and put a G in there, that's where Board Op Bill's heading tonight for a smart cocktail. It's the first N. Thank you.
I just got that. Well, for men, popular costume, Captain Jack Sparrow.
Really?
Yeah. Number two, Spider-Man.
He's gay.
Number three, Batman. What? Number four, close to my own heart, Batman.
What the hell? What year are we living in?
I know. Well, number five, I know, my husband.
The last Batman movie was 3 years ago, right?
I guess it's just an easy costume. Number five, Harry Potter. It's a little more current. Superman, Darth Vader, Indiana Jones, Wolverine, and then Borat. Isn't that over?
It would be over if you're really, really, really fat or really, really, really in shape. Because you know what he has done? He has done for men what women have done for years, and that is take Halloween as a way to dress so scantily. They all want to be Playboy bunnies or cheerleaders, and it's a way for a girl to go out in starting at a young age, a way her parents would never let her, then her boyfriend, then her father, then her husband would never let you out of the house. Halloween has always been an excuse for girls to dress up like little kitties. Well, now guys that have a six-pack abs can go out as Borat and show everything shy of their sack and say, hey, don't I look cute too?
Yeah, it really should be just called Dress Like a Whore Day.
Yeah, I agree with you.
For women, the costumes are Catwoman, Tinkerbell, Cinderella, Lara Croft, Cleopatra, Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, that's covered up, and Princess Leia.
Right, but...
And Marilyn Monroe.
One of them even is called Leia.
But Lara Croft is for the hot chicks. There should really be a separate chick for the... A separate thing for the fatties, like Pumpkin.
Right.
Garbage Pail Kid. Things like that. I mean, there's no fat chicks going as Lara Croft, right?
Or Catwoman. That's a tough one. Cat suits are not forgiving.
Would be funny. That'd be good. I should. You know they have big and tall stores.
Yeah.
And they have the Lane Bryans and the Forgotten Woman, which to me is the worst name for a fat chick store on the planet.
You're not, too fat to even remember you.
Not since Kaiser, the hospital added the word Permanente
right
to the end as a store made such a bad choice in naming itself the Forgotten Woman. But there should be a big and tall costume store for the ladies.
Aha.
And I'd be like, you want to go as a garbage dump or a UPS truck? You want to go as a dumpster? Because that's extra. You want the fight? You want the fake flies? Now, if we go with the UPS truck for extra, we can have a black guy who's really muscular wearing short black socks jump out of you.
Comes
and run.
With it.
He jumps out and runs and jumps back in. You guys take off again.
He makes all the party goers sign a slip, runs back in.
Here's all you need to know about life and our government, and then we're going to break.
Yeah.
The post office delivers parcels. UPS delivers parcels. One company has competition. The other doesn't. Have you ever seen a postman run when he's dropping something off? As opposed to the UPS guy who sprints across the lobby, throws the package at the guy behind the desk, and then sprints back into the van and jumps into it while it's still rolling because he didn't want to slow down to set the emergency brake. UPS delivers packages. They compete against other parcel delivery services and I guess the post office for that matter. But these guys have to shake their ass. They get paid by the delivery on their route versus your mailman.
Right.
See which one's running, see which one ain't, and then you tell me what the better system is and who's getting more bang for their buck.
Money is always the better system.
Thank you. Yes. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Speaking of money, we are going to get back to our NFL picks, yeah, as promised, before the breaking news. We'll be back with NFL picks next.
Professional football in America is a special game. The men who play it make it so.
It's time for the Adam Carolla Show's NFL Picks. With gridiron experts Danny Bonaducci, Teresa Strasser, and Adam's dog, Molly.
Football is a rough game and often a cruel one.
NFL Picks.
Every time you lose, you die a little bit.
Now, Adam Carolla.
I forgot Molly this morning.
Oh.
And Molly knew, too. Well, first off, bitch. And I'm not talking to you this time, T. I'm talking to Molly.
Thank God.
She knows she is. You're 3-9, honey buns. No more jerky treats for you. You stay home and think about your picks going 0-4 last week. How about that, baby? The next time you're chewing on that rawhide bone, I want you to think about going 0-4 last week. Yeah, Molly got up with me this morning. She came down to the kitchen. She got her little bacon strips that she always gets.
Bacon.
And then she sat by the front door, and she lay down right in front of the front door. And I thought, you never do that. Usually you go back upstairs and go to bed to, you know, to mock me after I wake up. And what are you doing laying by the front door, girl? And she didn't say anything, so I stepped over her, and I left. And I realize now she probably knew. So no Molly, but picks. Picks to be made. And again, all the money going to charity. Now, I am 7-5 for the season. Danny is even at 6-6, or the mark of the maker if you, six, if you add another one on there. And the mark of the devil, 666. And Teresa Strasser, 7-5 as well. Molly, the aforementioned, 3-9. Shall we start?
Yes.
All right. What's your charity, T?
Operation Gratitude. They send care packages to soldiers overseas.
All right. Danny?
Children's Hospital.
All right. Mine's for some schizophrenia thing. I don't know. It's my brother-in-law. Either way, I'm sure they'll get their money. Seattle versus Pittsburgh. Seattle at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is giving away 6 points.
I take Pittsburgh. I think they look good. Seattle has struggled. Taking Pitt.
All right. Now, Danny, since I know your strategy, and it's not a bad one, it's just to do the opposite of what I do.
Pretty much the way I'd like to go. I didn't want to become uncreative, not a good part of the show, but if you think that that's cool, that is what I would still like to do.
It is a winning strategy,
all right,
if
ladies
anything.
And gentlemen, I will be picking once again whatever it is that my esteemed leader does not pick.
Well, Seattle is not the Seattle of a couple of years ago. They're doing a little bit of winning, but not by much. Pittsburgh was upset in Arizona last week. They're going to be at home. They're going to be angry. The terrible towels will be out in full force. 6 points is something, but it's not a touchdown. I'm going with Steelers on this one. Thus, all right. Bonaducci goes Seattle. All right, now, Arizona at St. Louis. Arizona's given away 3.5 points.
I'm taking Arizona. St. Louis sucks.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kurt Warner's going back to the greatest show on turf, except for the greatest show on turf is 0-4 this year. And Mark Bulger, the man who backed up Kurt Warner, is going to be backing himself up to the bench and holding his ailing ribs. He's not getting the start. Kurt Warner should be getting the start for Arizona. I think he's going to have a good day in front of his hometown crowd, and they will cheer him and boo the then 0-5 Rams. I'm going Arizona on this one, too.
So who am I taking?
St. Louis.
Okay.
All right, now, San Diego at Denver, -1. Denver is giving away a point.
This is a tough one. Wow. I think
long and hard, T. God forbid those crippled kids at the hospital get $100 from your ass.
I am going to take San Diego over Denver.
San Diego over Denver. Yeah. Yes. What the hell happened to San Diego and what the hell happened to Denver? They both look crappy this year.
I know. That's
year.
Why it's a tough one.
And San Diego was so dominant last year that every week you're like, this is the week San Diego
right.
gets back on track. Well, it's been a month and they're not getting back on track.
Yeah.
Denver at home, San Diego. I'll go with you. I'll say this is the week San Diego gets back on track. Thus, Bonaducci.
I'm going with Cleveland.
Who's not playing in Mile High Stadium, but Denver is.
Oh, I'll take Denver.
And last up, the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, that's a gay ass name right there.
Yeah. But
the strippers.
Not a,
and I'll take the stage.
Raven does sound like a stripper name, yeah.
It does. This is a tough one for me because, of course, I'm from San Francisco. And moreover, my brother, who's sitting in the hospital right now recovering, is a huge 49er fan. And so I root for the team of people I love.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I think they're going to be shut down by Baltimore. I'm taking Baltimore.
Well, starting quarterback Alex Smith for San Francisco is out with a shoulder injury.
Right.
Could be a season ending. We'll check on the MRI. Baltimore's not much better. I think they're starting Kyle Bowler. I've got the other Bollinger mixed up with Bowler. Man, this is a battle of a couple of teams that are struggling right now. I'm going to go San Fran just because they're at home, and I don't think the Baltimore defense is what it used to be, so I go San Fran.
I'm taking a team with Ray Bolger. If the guy that played the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz can hold up this long, he can still play football.
So you're going with Baltimore,
okay.
And now the tie-breaking points. Combined points, Baltimore, San Francisco. The line over-under is 35 points. T?
I got to ask this time. I'm sorry. Yeah. I really don't know what this means. I just say it every time I say it. I hope you don't mind that I don't know what this means. I really don't know what we're doing here.
Well, because gambling's an addiction.
Right.
And you understand when you are high, when you take an alcoholic.
Right.
And you lock them into a cell where they don't have alcohol, well, then they take prunes and spit, and they make Pruno, thus they get a buzz.
Right.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Go well, on the MacGyver in that action.
Gamblers are the same way.
Right.
We can bet on the outcome of the game, but we can also bet on the combined score of the game.
Right, okay.
So
if your team gets 20 and the other team gets 20 and you bet 40, you win.
Well, there's that crazy bet, but then there's the over-under, which is your team is supposed to score 20, my team should score 23. 43 is the combined
right
score. Do you think it's going to be over that or under that?
Okay, I get that. I don't get what any of your points are, but I get what you can be over or under them. I understand
right.
it.
So
okay.
If the over-under for this game is 35,
yeah.
Teresa, do you think it's going to be under that
under.
Or over that?
Under. I'll take 34.
34. Danny?
I'll take under.
You'll take under as well. Well, why don't we just give you 33? That way,
fine.
If it's anything under that, if there's no score, you win. You took 33, 34. I'll take 35 just to screw Teresa. So
thanks.
She loses unless it's exactly 34 points.
I know. That was not well thought out on
yeah.
my part.
I didn't even get it.
No, but next week I'll go first. All right. There you are. NFL picks. We'll be back to wrap it up next. Just enough time to give some thanks where thanks are due. First off, Anthony Anderson, K-Ville, Monday nights on Fox, 9 p.m. Hope he took my remarks in the spirit in which they were intended. Ben Stiller, the Heartbreak Kid, out today. Teresa Strasser on TMZ tonight. Bonaducci will probably be on it, too.
Bonaducci free.
That's right. Free Bonaducci will be on TMZ tonight. Also, Teresa Strasser. Also, TV Water Cooler. I'll tell you what. It'd be faster to name the show she wasn't on.
good stuff,
Ace Man. Good. So write that down, Paul Bryan. That's good stuff right there. Use ink next time.
Wait, do write down the show she's not on.
That's good, it's good stuff.
Thank you.
Write that one down about him writing. And speaking of Bald Brian, guess who's doing his own movie show on radio's retarded cousin? That's right. HD Radio.
Yay!
Go to 97.1 on your HD radio Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. or go to myspace.com/filmvault to find out more information. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
I'm Carrot Top when I get going.